Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammy McCormick. How to fight two wars while giving soldiers more time off between deployments. The president traveled to the Pentagon today to hear from his military advisors. CBS News correspondent David Martin has the story.
Faced with the competing demands of a two-front war, the Joint Chiefs of Staff warned President Bush today more U.S. troops may soon be needed in Afghanistan. But unless the U.S. can keep withdrawing more troops from Iraq, there is a serious risk the U.S. military will not be able to successfully reinforce Afghanistan or any other crisis point around the world.
The president talked to China's leader today.
In a written statement, the White House announced that Mr. Bush used a phone call with President Hu Jintao to raise U.S. concerns about China's crackdown on protesters in Tibet. The U.S. has been calling for restraint for the better part of 2 weeks. We're told Mr. Bush also urged China to engage in a substantive dialogue with the representatives of Tibet's spiritual leader, the Dalai Lama.
Correspondent Mark Noller, more than 300 flights canceled today by American Airlines, delaying thousands. American was inspecting wires on its MD-80 aircraft, so many flyers were understanding.
I'm glad they're taking the planes out of service if they have a problem with it. I would rather fly safely.
CBS News reporter Alexis Christophorus.
Crews are checking wire bundles aboard the planes after the Federal Aviation Administration reviewed the airline's maintenance records and questioned whether inspections were properly performed.
Many of the cancellations out of Dallas and Chicago. The shuttle Endeavour's return to Earth has been delayed a couple of hours.
Unfortunately, the weather trend did not improve as we had hoped. So we are going to be waving off one orbit.
The next opportunity is 8:39 Eastern. The 12-day visit to the International Space Station was the longest ever by a shuttle. Often criticized for taking too long to approve drugs, the FDA now is being scrutinized for putting unsafe medications on the market because of deadline pressure.
When drugs are given a green light by the FDA within 2 months of approval deadlines,
they're more likely to be withdrawn for safety-based reasons. They're more likely to receive a black box warning.
And Harvard researcher Daniel Carpenter says late approvals have become increasingly common since Congress instituted deadlines 16 years ago. He calls the effect piling on. This study in the New England Journal of Medicine. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
There was more bad economic news today.
We need to look to a positive sign for durable goods orders to be assured the economy's pulling out. The numbers we got today indicate that we are not there yet.
Economist Peter Morici, in fact, those orders were down for a second straight month. Sales of new homes fell for the fourth straight month. Dave Siders is with the National Association of Home Builders.
I don't think we're going to be seeing a heck of a lot of strengthening. I'm just looking, hopefully, for stabilization as we go out into the next couple of months.
And crude oil surged back above $105 a barrel. And on Wall Street today, the Dow reacted, falling 109 points. This is CBS News.
It's time to empty our schedules and fill up our flower pots. Time to unload our inboxes and load up our window boxes. It's time to grow something with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control, the potting mix that prevents under- or overwatering and lets you do just about anything except mess up. So let the creativity flow and the color and beauty grow. This weekend, get out there with Miracle-Gro. It's grow time.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, let's see. Progressive is more than just cascading waterfalls and lush green gardens. It's all your auto insurance wants and needs, like the chance to save hundreds and the fact that we're there for you 24/7 to answer any questions. And they're not answered by magical nymphs, but by licensed agents, which is nice. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield, Fields, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This just in from the Associated Press, which says it's learned that a preliminary State Department review has turned up at least 20 instances of workers peeking at passport applications from high-profile Americans over the past year. State Department's already under fire for contractors peeking at the files of the presidential candidates. Hitting the courts or the books, more controversy now over whether universities urge athletes to study.
At the New America Foundation, Lindsay Lubko compiled the graduation rates for the top basketball schools in the past decade. Fewer than half the players got degrees. At UCLA, 29%, Texas, 23%.
They're recruiting these players who cannot deal with the academic rigor of college, and then the schools are basically using these players.
Instead of educating them, Lubko says around 1% make it to the NBA. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Washington.
A new study out of Yale claims discrimination against overweight people is just as common as racial discrimination in this country. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Today's most fuel-efficient mid-size cars can get about 30 miles per gallon. In a hybrid car, about 50 miles per gallon. But the CSX trains that bring those cars to you, they can move a ton of freight, 423 miles, on a single gallon of fuel. Too bad we can't all drive a train. Go to CSX.com to learn more about our commitment to protecting the environment. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer: our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
As we launch another fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, I'm delighted you're listening. I'm an unreconstructed, unrepentant liberal. And I refuse to back down. If you dig up some dirt on my former pastor,
stand my ground.
I may have to back down.
I'll be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
On today's program, we'll kick it off with Paul Waldman from Media Matters in just a moment. He and David Brock have published a new book about John McCain. Also, in half an hour, Stephen Zunis returns, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. Now, you may have been hearing almost nonstop from the corporate media that the surge is working. Unfortunately, the facts from the ground in Iraq don't quite match up. As the U.S. has taken a very risky position, we are backing the Iranian-backed militias against Muqtada al-Sadr. And this could prove to be an unraveling point. We're going to be watching this very carefully. Stephen Zunis will comment in about half an hour. California's Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi will be with us next hour. And I'm going to ask him how he would fix the state budget problem. Arnold Schwarzenegger has said he's going to leave it up to the legislators to decide exactly how to impose his across-the-board 10% cutbacks. And, of course, the early cuts hurt the most vulnerable, Medi-Cal, education, and others. And we'll see what Garamendi would do if he were the governor and not just the lieutenant governor. Robert Scheer returns to our program in our second hour today. He is the political columnist and the founder of TruthDig.com. And he's got a great column out today about the Revs, Wright, and King, as in Martin Luther King. Our third hour devoted to your phone calls at 888-5-PETER-B. You can call before then, but the free speech zone is set aside for your comments. And you can join us anytime, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Oh, I got to double-click here and make sure we get the right song. Here we go. There's a brand-new book out, as I mentioned, co-authored by Paul Waldman and his boss, David Brock, at Media Matters for America. And it's named after this Edgar Winter song. It's called Free Ride.
The mountain is high.
No fare is required on the Straight Talk Express, especially if you're a registered reporter from the mainstream media. Paul Waldman is a senior fellow over there at Media Matters for America. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
It's great to talk to you again. How you been doing?
Just fantastic.
You got a new book out with David Brock.
We do, and it's called Free Ride, John McCain and the Media, and I should plug our website, which is McCainsFreeRide.com. People can buy the book, they can look at the book, and we've got a really cool chart all about McCain's lobbyist connections.
Ooh, nice.
I know people are going to enjoy, and we've even got video. So
it's like really boss.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And do you pay royalties to Edgar Winter for the use of the Free Ride moniker?
We have not yet been contacted by Mr. Winter.
Well, he's a great albino rocker from Texas, and sooner or later his lawyers will probably get wind of this and say, oh, give us $50. So I hope you're prepared for that and have it budgeted. I'm loading the website right now at Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And unfortunately, Paul, the shipment of your book didn't arrive. I got some nuclear triggers bound for Taiwan. But I didn't receive a copy of your book yet, and I apologize, because I'm one of those rare talk show hosts who actually does read the book, usually, before I interview somebody about their book.
Well, then allow me to tell you what it's about. I mean, the title really says it all. We decided to take a look at this really unique relationship between John McCain and the media that has, in some senses, defined much of our politics for the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
To put it simply, there's no politician in America today who has the kind of relationship with the press that John McCain has. And it didn't happen by accident. It's a strategy that he employed with extraordinary skill to get the press on his side in such a way that they will not only give him the benefit of the doubt on incident after incident, but really almost they almost became partners with him in the endeavor of creating what we call the myth of McCain,
mm-hmm.
which has a whole series of different elements to it. Some of them are things that are just exaggerated. Some of them are things that are false. But if you've paid any attention to the coverage of John McCain, you know that there are certain words and phrases that come up again and again and again. You know that he's a maverick. You know that he delivers straight talk. You know that he's independent,
mm-hmm.
and that he doesn't do things out of political calculation. These are all parts of this myth. So again, some of them are false. Some of them are exaggerated. But just to take one example, the maverick idea. You can't pick up an article about John McCain without hearing him referred to as a maverick.
Right.
In the months of January and February alone, on television and in newspapers, he was referred to as a maverick over 1,300 times. So it's almost part of his name. But the question is, have reporters gotten to the point where they just put that in their story, they just refer to the maverick John McCain, without even asking whether or not it's really true or to what extent it's true? Because when you actually look at the record, what you see is that he's really not such a maverick.
Mm-hmm.
He votes with the Republicans about 85% of the time, which makes him, puts him pretty much in the middle of the pack when it comes to party loyalty. And when you look at the specific incidents in which he does vote against the Republicans, what you find is that there's something unique about them. You know, in the ordinary course of reporting on legislation, what reporters do is they set things up as a conflict between Republicans and Democrats when there is an argument about things. And if there's a couple people in the middle who may cross party lines here and there, that doesn't really change the fundamental way that reporters write the story. But when it's John McCain, it does change it. When he decides that he's going to go against his party, unlike other senators, it becomes no longer a story about Democrats and Republicans. It now becomes a story about John McCain and his courageous rebellion. And you see that over and over again. And the last thing I'd say about the maverick idea is if you look at those things where he's gone against the Republicans, like campaign finance reform or regulation of tobacco, where he introduced a bill on global warming, what you find is that in almost every case, it's where the Republican Party is on the wrong side of public opinion. So when he does counter the Republicans, he's doing it in a way that is only going to make him more popular. So it may be sincere, maybe not, but you can't call it a political risk, despite the fact that that's the story the press often tells.
Well, and this maverick label covers a multitude of sins, Paul, because there are many people who think that John McCain is a moderate. I remember when he was permitted to speak at the re-coronation, the Republican convention in 2004, the pundits were saying, well, only the moderates are allowed to speak. You know, we got Giuliani up there and a handful of other people, and they lumped McCain in with that group. And I just think that's not factually true. He is a hardline movement conservative on most issues, and where he differs, it's relatively minor. I mean, campaign finance is an interesting point of departure, but we have seen as he maneuvered this year in and out of the public finance system that he helped devise. And he used it as collateral for a loan and then claimed that he hadn't really tapped into the money and therefore he can walk away from it. This is a very interesting example of the kind of maneuvering he will do, but he doesn't get labeled as an opportunist the way others do.
No, and you struck on something very important, that reporters don't look at the things that McCain says and does and say, okay, what does this tell us about him and who he is? They've already decided who he is. And so when he, let's say he flip-flops, let's take an example. He introduced an immigration bill, a comprehensive immigration bill, before his presidential candidacy. It was actually of the kind of immigration that polls show the most of the public is interested in, a comprehensive reform. But it turns out that wasn't very popular with the Republican base. So when he was trying to court the Republican base, what did he do? Well, he turned around and he said, despite having said before that he wanted that you couldn't build a fence without comprehensive immigration reform, now he says that the most important thing to do first is to build a fence. And when he was asked if he would vote for his own bill, he said no. So that seems like a 180-degree flip-flop. Mm-hmm. But if a different candidate did that, let's say it was Mitt Romney, the reporters would say, aha, look, this tells you something about his character. This tells you something about who he is. His flip-flop might indicate that he is, in fact, a flip-flopper. But when it's John McCain, that's not the story they tell. If they pay attention to it at all, they find ways to dismiss it to avoid making those kinds of conclusions about his character because they've already decided that his character is impeccable. And so the rules are always different for John McCain. Other people, other candidates get evaluated and judged based on what they do. John McCain's, the things that he says and does, get either ignored or paid attention to, depending on whether they cohere with the story reporters have already been telling about him.
Mm-hmm. One of the Jerry Harrison, one of the members of Talking Heads, had a solo record, and one of the songs was called The Rules Do Not Apply, and the list was Pretty Girl, Old Man, Man with a Gun. The rules do not apply. Now, is some of it in deference to his age? And do people avoid, for example, hard criticism of his hot temper and his negative demeanor because he was, in the Hanoi Hilton for over 5 years?
I think the Vietnam story is a very important part of that. And you find that reporters mention that a lot. Not only when they're talking, they mention it when they're talking about McCain in terms of kind of that meta-analysis where they say, well, you know, why is it that he gets such good coverage? Well, you know, everybody respects the fact that he was tortured as a prisoner in Vietnam. That's something that reporters will bring up a lot. And you also find that it gets dropped into stories where it has absolutely no relevance to the topic at hand. You know, you'll read stories where it will say, John McCain, who was a prisoner of war in Vietnam, today gave a speech on the economy. And you're saying, well, what does that have to do with the speech on the economy? But it's something that comes in again and again and again, and reporters often cite as sort of the only thing you need to know about his character. Now, nobody questions that he endured extraordinary suffering when he was a prisoner of war. There's no question about that. But that's not the only thing that you could use to judge what his character is. There's what he's done in the 40 years since then, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of his story also. But when it comes to character, that POW experience seems to be the thing that creates the prism through which reporters are always going to see those questions. And if something like, well, you know, he has this extraordinarily almost volcanic temper that doesn't get reported on very often, if a reporter gets asked about that, well, then one of the likely responses is, well, you know, we're going to cut him some slack. I mean, after all, the guy was a prisoner of war.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really the question, what happened to him 40 years ago. As admirable as his suffering may have been, the question is, what is he going to do as president? And
absolutely.
Unfortunately, I think that the reporters don't judge him by the same standards that they judge other candidates.
Well, and he needs Joey Lieberman to whisper in his ear and correct his misstatements. That's that's a real problem. We're going to take a break and return. Paul Waldman and David Brock have co-authored this new book called Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. Visit the website, McCainsFreeRide.com. We'll pick up in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll be right back.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there. And who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
You know you move too fast. This is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, our hoedown at high noon Sundays right here at KRXA 540 AM. Poetry's age-resistant news we need more than ever in fast-breaking, heartbreaking headline news. As Monterey talks for the Steinbeck Center's Big Read about books we would each save from burning, what poem would you want to save if we were to lose all the books? What poem has meant something precious to you in a time of grief or joy, or just being awake to this great happening illimitably earth, as E.E. Cummings says? Be thinking for yourself, KRXA listeners, and I'll be listening right here, Sunday noon at 5:40 a.m., or write me at barbara@krxa540.com. Our show will make the morning last, but hearing from you makes my whole day.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
How about just that short-term memory loss? John McCain has a little trouble identifying the hostile players on the battlefield there in Iraq, where he claims to be the father of the surge. And Paul Waldman, along with David Brock, they've co-authored this new book called Free Ride, John McCain and the Media. And this is just another example where he, you know, has been praised by Bill and Hillary Clinton for his expertise in foreign policy. And yet last week, as he toured the Middle East, he repeatedly mistook or interchanged the players, claiming that Al-Qaeda was sending people into Iran for training who then came back over the border into Iraq. And for a man who's supposed to have this great command of foreign policy, that's a big blunder. And Paul, on top of that, Dave called to point out that he's all over the map now on torture. He used to have a principled position in opposition to Cheney and Bush, but just like his opposition to Bob Jones and other far-right pastors in 2000, a whole lot has changed with John McCain.
Yeah, and the story about Iran and al-Qaeda is a perfect example of how the rules are different for John McCain. I mean, had it been Barack Obama, what would reporters and pundits have said? They would have said, well, this raises questions about whether he's qualified to be commander-in-chief. He doesn't seem to know who's on whose side. He doesn't seem to have a command of the facts. Doesn't this potentially show that he's not qualified? Those are the kinds of questions that they would have asked had it been a different candidate. But since it's John McCain, they don't ask questions based on what he says and does. They just incorporate it into the story that they've already told about him. And the story that they've been telling about him is that he is so deeply qualified, knows so much, has such a great understanding of national security and foreign policy. And so when he does something like that, what do they say? Well, they say, oh, well, he just misspoke. It was just a mistake. It wasn't revealing ignorance the way they would have said for a different candidate. So it was just kind of dismissed. You know, it made the news because Obama and Clinton were criticizing him over it. But the way it was talked about was that just kind of demonstrated that whenever that picture that they've been painting gets threatened, what do? Well, they become McCain's protector. That's what the press does. If what he does shows that maybe that myth that they've been telling might not really hold water, it's almost as though they circle the wagons around him.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this over and over again.
All right, Jake's on the line from Eureka. Go ahead, Jake.
Hey, Peter B. You know, since in a few months John McCain will be turning 72 years of age, I believe it's fair to ask, is he simply unaware of the fact that the Shiite mullahs who run Iran are enemies of al-Qaeda, or is he just cynically trying to come up with any possible excuse to launch an attack on Iran?
Now, why did you have to mention his age?
Well, because I think it's absolutely appropriate. I mean, we talk about Barack Obama being young, 46.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fact that John McCain's 72 and seems to mix up whether, you know, our enemies in Iraq are Shia or Sunni, I think that's a problem.
I was at a birthday party for a bunch of 80-year-olds back in 1996, and they were talking about Bob Dole. And these senior citizens were saying, hey, I couldn't do it anymore. And so I do think it's a legitimate question. And, Paul, this is another issue that is sidestepped. Reagan was asked about his age. Bob Dole, as I just mentioned, was challenged about his acuity at an advanced age when he ran for president. But we don't see much of that pinned on John McCain.
Yeah, and I'm not going to take a position on whether or not it should be in general, whether or not a 72-year-old is qualified just by virtue of their age to or disqualified from the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
But as with so many things, if it's a legitimate issue, then everybody should be treated the same. And if it was a legitimate issue for Bob Dole, who I believe was 73 at the time he ran, then it should be a legitimate issue for John McCain. There are other sorts of personal issues that we may or may not want to go into that, again, you can argue about whether the issue should be legitimate for anybody, but if it's going to be legitimate for one candidate, it should apply equally to all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But what we see with McCain is that the rules just don't apply. He's always treated differently.
Also, he's seen as squeaky clean because of campaign finance reform. And the real payoff, again, at your website, McCainsFreeRide.com, is this chart. When I roll my mouse over the lobbyist name, who is a key supporter of John McCain, it tells me who that person lobbies for. A lot of them are telecom, and that plays right into this issue about the FCC and PAX Television, the Pittsburgh licenses, where it's been shown that John McCain has recently flatly lied about his role in intervening there on behalf of his friend Vicky Eisman. And the New York Times blew it by suggesting some intimate affair that they couldn't approve. The real issue is the conflicts of interest that are very glaring. I want to thank you, Paul, and I look forward to getting the book, and we'll talk again.
All right, I look forward to it too, Peter.
Paul Waldman at Media Matters, again, McCainsFreeRide.com. Visit that website.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the makers of naturally derived Amil BP, clinically shown to help maintain a healthy blood pressure. I'm Charles Osgood. Arthur C. Clarke, the pioneering scientist and science fiction writer who died recently, predicted that one day, in addition to government space projects, there would be space tourism for people with enough interest and enough money to pay. Billionaire Richard Branson and his aerospace designer partner have unveiled Spaceship 2 for the Virgin Galactic Space Tourism Company and may begin test flights later this year. Now, X-Corps Aerospace of California has announced plans to make spaceships, including one called the Lynx. It can carry one passenger, several a day, who will sit next to the pilot.
A small suborbital two-seat spacecraft that will be able to take tourists or even, you know, a payload in place of the person up to the edge of space and back.
A short ride, but very sweet, says X-Corps' Doug Graham.
3 minutes of exceptional acceleration taking you up. And then it actually coasts the rest of the way up to the top of the flight, and then it gradually glides back to a landing.
The story after this for Emil BP. Over 70 million Americans deal with pre-hypertension. But there's a wonderful new product, Emil BP, that makes maintaining healthy blood pressure easy. Take it every day the way you take your vitamins. Emil BP uses a patented, naturally derived ingredient called Emil Peptide, clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure. Keep yours in a healthy range by eating right, exercising, and taking Emil BP. Emil BP, available at Walgreens or Long's Drugs near you.
You know, a wise man once said, "Do what you love, and you won't have to work a day in your life." Of course, small business owners know that doing what you love sometimes involves doing things you don't love, like the finances. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
The Virgin Galactic space tourist will sit in the back of the spacecraft with five other tourists and will be launched from another aircraft. Ticket price, $200,000. The Lynx price hasn't been set yet, says company spokesman Doug Graham.
There's a big enough market where there's going to be the different experiences that people will be wanting to buy at different price levels. And we like to say with ours, because it's just that one seat next to the pilot, would you rather go up and back like some cargo, or would you rather be up front like a co-pilot?
X-Corps thinks that will be a better ride.
It's going to be the greatest ride, you know, off Earth, and why would you want to take a back seat?
So it seems Arthur C. Clarke was right.
It used to be space was only something governments did. And now you're seeing this new phase offering a new kind of experience and access to space that people will be able to take on their own.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Those who start wars, never fight them. Who fight wars, I never like them. And those who write laws, they can't recite them.
All right, can we get to the chorus, guys?
Take our girls, time to go home. Take our boys away now. Take our girls away now. Take our boys away now.
Yes, it's time to go home. Time to bring those U.S. troops out of Iraq. And things are getting more complicated. Stateside, over the past week, we have heard a steady stream of propaganda that the surge is working. Bush and Cheney telling us that we're on the verge of success. They don't use victory anymore. And it does not square with the facts on the ground. And we now see a risk of the ceasefire declared by Muqtada al-Sadr falling apart. And we see that a portion of Iraq that was thought to be pacified and had largely been turned over to control by Iraq is now a hotbed of violence and conflict. We're talking about the very southern portion near Basra, and fighting has broken out in towns from Baghdad, south along the Euphrates to Hilla, and all the way into Basra. And the situation is so serious that Prime Minister Maliki has dispatched himself to Basra and is apparently calling the shots from a bunker of some sort in that area. For commentary, we turn to Stephen Zunis. He's a professor of politics at the University of San Francisco, and he is also a contributor to Foreign Policy in Focus, which is published by the Institute for Policy Studies. He also writes for Tikkun and the National Catholic Reporter. Stephen, nice to talk with you again.
Good to be back.
And this is a very dicey situation. Let me cut straight to my biggest concern. From what I can see, the U.S. is backing the Skiri forces, that is the Supreme Council of Islamic something or other. And these, of course, are people whose biggest supporters are the government in Tehran, the Iranians. And we are backing them against the forces of the Mahdi army, which is controlled by Muqtada al-Sadr. One of the reasons for the decline in violence, and in particular the reduction in U.S. casualties over the last 7 months, is the unilateral ceasefire that Muqtada al-Sadr imposed on his forces. And it appears that that may unravel quickly as this conflict grows in southern Iraq. What are your comments, and how big a problem is it for the U.S. to continually blame Iran for fomenting some of the violence against U.S. and Iraqi forces in Iraq when we are, coalescing with Iranian-backed forces against the more indigenous Sadr team?
It is rather remarkable. I mean, the biggest divisions in Iraq right now are not Sunni versus Shiite, but the more nationalist-oriented Sunnis and nationalist-oriented Shiites versus the more sectarian-oriented Sunnis and Shiites, including, of course, the Shiites who do tend to ally with Iran. And it's even more complex than that because Iran, of course, is highly factionalized itself. Some of the Sadrist spinoffs are getting support from some elements within Iran, though Skiri, as you pointed out, historically has been the group that's been most closely tied with the Islamic Republic. But the bottom line is that this mess we created is still a mess. It's getting worse again, as many of us have predicted. Sadr's unilateral ceasefire was largely to try to end this fighting, which in part was simply for the spoils of the economic goodies in this oil-rich port city of Basra and control over pilgrimage routes to Najaf and some of the other major Shiite cities. A lot of it, and not to mention being tied up with various organized crime and other things. And he thought it was important as people kind of get out of the way for a while to regroup, but certainly didn't mean accepting U.S. domination and continued U.S. presence there any more than the Sunni tribal leaders in Anbar in their temporary alliance with America to get rid of the al-Qaeda crazies were anywhere closer to feeling good about the ongoing U.S. military presence either.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not getting clear reporting, particularly on television in this country. There are very few network TV reporters left, and they really just accept the packages delivered by the military information officers and their units. And yet I think this is a very significant development, particularly, Stephen, when we contrast it to the rosy commentary and descriptions that were offered by the president and the vice president last week, with nary a critical comment permitted. I watched the president's speech, of course, using the Pentagon as a photo op backdrop. And I watched it on CNN. The package leading into it was this happy talk scene, a reporter on that huge boulevard in Baghdad. The shot was framed by that huge sword monument that Saddam built after the Iran-Iraq war in 89 or 90. And she was trying to show this open expanse as if this was a depiction of peace. But you could see in the shot a parade of Humvees, a convoy of them protecting the perimeter. There was a big orange MRAP that came up at one point. And, you know, they want us to believe that if you just look at the immediate image in the front of the picture, that you're going to get this placid image, while the contradiction is often contained in the very same frame.
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. I think this is a very appropriate analogy. The bottom line is that we're not going to be any closer to real security until there is a more comprehensive political settlement. And what the United States has been doing, basically, has been supporting one faction, playing them off against the other. Sometimes, I mean, some of these groups we've been arming and supporting, like in Anbar, were groups that we were fighting just a few years ago, and we'll probably be fighting again in the future. And we're freaked out about the Ba'athist resurgence, and then Sunni fundamentalists, and then pro-Iranian Shiite factions, and we end up supporting one to try to fight the other. And if we can temporarily maintain a kind of equilibrium, or one or two of the groups, you know, find it's in their interest to back off a little bit or make another temporary alliance or whatever, that means everything's going to be cool. No, and this is like Lebanon was, you know, for those 15 years of that civil war, with all the shifting alliances and people fighting each other one day and then making common cause the next. And again, until there's underlying a political settlement, any kind of a lull in fighting is simply an illusion. And so so the idea that the surge is working, or that things will soon calm down and we'll be out of there in a year or two, again, I find really, really naive. In fact, I'm speaking to you from the International Studies Association annual meeting, which happens to be in San Francisco this year. And I just got off a panel that was discussing this very topic, and it was a variety of people from different backgrounds and different political orientations. One thing we agreed on was that things are remain a mess. The surge has not worked. The violence is only going to increase, and until there is a genuine political settlement, which will at minimum involve withdrawal of American forces from Iraq.
Well, Stephen, as you're saying this, I'm hearing voices in my head, and it's mainly the voice of Dick Cheney. One, he pronounced the gains in Iraq as phenomenal on his visit there about 9 days ago. And having heard what you just said, I can hear him saying, you're just one of those liberals who wants to set a date for surrender.
Now, this is the same Dick Cheney who said the insurgents was on its last throes. What was it, back in late 2003 or early 2004 or something
like
that?
It was May of 2004.
Pardon?
May of 2004. Yep. It was in the election cycle when he was saying, yep, in the last throes.
Yep. And what's really striking here is that the International Studies Association is a very, very mainstream academic group that is not prone to be necessarily critical of the U.S. role in the world, but certainly those of us who study this region see the reality there, and generally that there is a with the United States playing such an overwhelmingly powerful role, not just militarily, but in terms of the way we've rewritten their economic laws and the extraterritorial rights and other things that the Americans have there, is that various factions are willing to take advantage of the situation and think the U.S. can cover them for a time, or conversely, the U.S. presence can give them legitimacy in resisting it that they might not otherwise have because of their fundamentalist theology or anything like that. The bottom line is that I would not, as much as I opposed the war at the beginning, if I felt that American military presence there would actually, you know, do more good than harm, I'd be willing to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, all the evidence has consistently shown that we are doing more harm than good, and that it is really hard to see how the Iraqis themselves can get it together as long as the U.S. continues the kind of policy it's been pursuing.
Certainly. And this seems to be one of those unnecessary caveats, but, Stephen, neither you nor I takes any pleasure in seeing even one American killed in Iraq.
Yeah.
And to see that number decline does give us, you know, a sense of heartening and just a sense of reduction of loss.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to spin that and suggest that this lull in the violence, which has been caused by many factors that are temporary, is a, you know, a permanent trend, is simply misleading. And I think what we really need to look at is what Bush is planning and the way he has laid this out with the generals. Petraeus and Crocker are coming back in April. They've already decided that the 130,000 number, we won't go below that easily until September or October. And they're basically hedging now, saying, well, we're going to have a pause. And, of course, the troops that were sent there or retained there as part of the surge need to come home. They really don't have any choice under all the policies and protocols. And so they're spinning that, you know, that with success we, you know, bring home the troops. But all of this is a house of cards, a stack of lies. And it is sad to see in the polls that the American people are kind of believing it and saying, well, maybe things are getting a little better in Iraq.
And it's amazing. I mean, most people acknowledge of the lies that led up to the invasion itself. But, you know, every year we've been getting, it had been one thing or another. It was, there's not really an insurgency. These are just dead-enders and hangers-on. And, once we have this, the Iraqis have the election, then things will calm down. Or now we have this this democracy there, and things are going to be okay. Or once we get rid of Al Qaeda, we killed once we get rid of Zakari,
right.
He's the cause of it. And now we've killed Zakari, everything's going to be good. Oh no, it's Iranians who are now screwing things. I mean, if it's not one thing, it's another. I mean,
well, and Tom Friedman has been buying time in 6-month increments. The next 6 months are critical, crucial.
Exactly.
We're going to take a break and return with Stephen Zunis. Your calls are welcome. We'll go to the phones in the next segment at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We're talking Iraq on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion. From an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Stephen Zunis, professor of politics at the University of San Francisco. And we're joined now by Tony in Sacramento. Hello, Tony. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Pretty good, thanks.
Well, what I'd like to add in, and this is obviously just my opinion, and that's what we're just going over here, is from the facts that I've read, reports that I've read, the Iraqi security force is currently fighting the Shiite militias controlled by Muqtada al-Sadr in Baghdad and Basra, which is exactly what will happen when we leave. And I think we'd rather have it happen now than if we pull out, and it will have to happen eventually, I guess is my main point. They will have to fight the Mahdi army, and they will have to be destroyed or somewhat assimilated. Something like that will have to happen. They can't just be their own sect of society, their own militia, and just running around rampant. So that's my main point.
All right, you make an interesting point, and let me get Stephen's thoughts, but my first reaction is the issue here is that we have created a series of alliances that are untenable and that will haunt whatever government survives our departure. And trying to balance these competing interests with, the Sunnis in Anbar on our payroll, the so-called awakening councils, and our support for Skiri, which is Iranian-backed, at the same time that we threaten to attack Iran over its non-existent nuclear weapons program. This is a very complicated situation, but the bottom line for me is that it's a myth that the surge is working and that the U.S. is caught in the crossfire, and we have failed to really disarm these militias, including Skiri and the Mahdi Army. Stephen?
Well, there are a number of issues. One is that it's not even that clear if this is a mainstream Mahdi army or it's one of a number of factions that have splintered and have been doing provocative actions on their own. One thing about having the U.S. there now, of course, is that we are able to we're very involved in these battles. So we have our drone aircraft, our advisors, our aerial support. Mm-hmm. So this is not just something between the Iraqi army dominated by the Skiri's militia.
We're not just referees.
No, exactly. I think what underscores this whole thing is this idea that if the U.S. pulls out, there's going to be a civil war and chaos and craziness and that kind of thing. And nobody can say for exact certainty what's going to happen when the U.S. pulls out. But virtually every bad case scenario I have heard, or at least realistic bad case scenario, is at least as likely to happen if the United States stays as if it leaves. I think that's really the bottom line.
Yeah, and we're seeing that now. Tony, a follow-up?
Well, the only other thing I'd like to say is that, I mean, to just repeat that the surge isn't working, looking at it numbers-wise, it has worked. It hasn't worked politically, and that's been maybe one of the main drives of the surge was, to maintain or create political talks, and that hasn't worked. But to say that the actual military movement of the surge hasn't worked, I think it's false, because less people are dying, more areas are safer.
Yeah, but
not
Tony,
safe, but
Tony,
safer.
Tony, you are imputing a cause and effect that is not real.
Let me interject here, if I may. I think there are certain areas, you know, where the additional U.S. forces have allowed for more a stronger U.S. military presence that has, I think, in some cases, deterred violence. But I think there are at least three other factors I can think of off the top of my head that are primarily have much more to do with the decline in violence. One was the decision by the Awakening, so-called Awakening Council in Anbar province and other Sunni areas to turn on al-Qaeda. This decision was made back in September of 2006, a full 6 months before the surge began.
And like warlords in Afghanistan, they will be loyal as long as they are paid.
Yeah. And another is al-Sadr's unilateral decision, and largely to try to, in part, to get rid of his some of the more factious extremist elements within his group that weren't towing the line, right, to make them more vulnerable. But in any case, his decision to pull back from active combat against the U.S. or the Iraqi government. Mm-hmm. Another factor in terms of the steep decline in sectarian violence, the Sunni against Shiite, is the fact that the ethnic cleansing is largely complete, that you have no longer have much in the way of integrated neighborhoods, and the U.S. has largely walled off these neighborhoods from each other.
Indeed, and I heard a report yesterday that the Iraqi forces have withdrawn from Sadr City, and it's the Mahdi army that is
right
now in control there.
And so it becomes these kind of individual fiefdoms. And I was in Lebanon in 1981 during a lull in the Civil War, and you know, every few blocks in Beirut and every few miles down the countryside, you had a different militia and a different roadblock controlling the area. And, you know, it was pretty obvious that wasn't going to last. And sure enough, it didn't. Violence continued for another 9 years.
All right, so, Tony, thank you for your call today. I want to jump to Laura in Sacramento. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi, Peter.
Hello.
This was never a war of democracy. This was an experiment in free market capitalism that is never going to be resolved. Because it cut out the Iraqi people from the equation, I don't see how there's ever going to be political reconciliation. I'm disappointed that the media has not covered it at that angle, and I'm very disappointed in both of the Democratic candidates that to date, their comments have been about whether we're winning or how long we're staying, but nobody will say that we went in there for a bad reason, and our staying in there only makes things worse.
Well, wait.
Obama,
I think he focuses a little bit too much on 2002, where I do agree with him, but he does talk about that. And Laura, to his credit, at a time when the polls show that people care more about NAFTA and the economy and health care, he's still talking about Iraq.
Well, you're right, and he is making the connection. And I'll say one more log on the fire about why he is the better candidate. Hillary Clinton seems to believe that the likes of Alan Greenspan would be a wise counsel to take in her presidency, one of the primary architects and moving forces of this free market capitalist nightmare.
Well, don't forget, she wants Bob Rubin and Paul Volcker to serve on that committee to help little people hold on to their homes. Thank you, Laura. Stephen, just about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
I think the underlying thing is that there's not been a fundamental or a critique that this war was illegitimate and illegal from the beginning. It was not just a mistake. It wasn't just unwise. It wasn't just poorly managed. It was much more direct than that. And the fact is that this was, in a sense, the military side of globalization, and that it had a much broader hegemonic agenda, I think is something that we need to look at really seriously, because I think that is maybe one of the reasons that's keeping us in. It's not simply a matter of security and terrorism or whatever, real or imagined.
Stephen Zunis, professor of politics, University of San Francisco. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines, that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The U.S. military is running on all cylinders.
With or without more troop withdrawals from Iraq, there will be no let-up in the pace of combat operations for the remainder of the Bush presidency.
The president says the stimulus checks will make it all better.
We have a rough patch right now in our economy, but I'm confident in the long term will come out stronger than ever before.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush went to the Pentagon today for a review of the fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports he was given a stark picture of a military stretched to the breaking point.
Faced with the competing demands of a two-front war, the Joint Chiefs of Staff warned President Bush today more U.S. troops may soon be needed in Afghanistan. But unless the U.S. can keep withdrawing more troops from Iraq, there is a serious risk the U.S. military will not be able to successfully reinforce Afghanistan or any other crisis point around the world.
General David Petraeus, the top U.S. commander in Iraq, wants a pause in troop withdrawals after the surge ends in July. The chiefs endorse that, but say there should be more frequent assessments of security conditions with an eye toward pulling more troops out sooner rather than later. Part of the problem in Afghanistan is that few NATO countries have been willing to commit combat troops, but French President Nicolas Sarkozy told the British Parliament today that he's willing to send more.
We cannot afford to lose Afghanistan. We cannot afford to see the Taliban and Al-Qaeda returning to Kabul. Whatever the cost, however difficult the victory, we cannot afford it. We must win.
The fighting continued in Basra, Iraq. Iraqi security forces are battling Shiite militiamen. Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is warning the militiamen to surrender their weapons by Friday. Now this.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer. Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
We change our clothes, we change our channels, we change our minds. When it comes to your car, nothing is more satisfying than changing your own oil. Go to Advance Auto Parts, where Pennzoil conventional motor oil is only $7.96 a gallon. That's less than $2 a quart. Buy it. The sale ends March 29th. Drive home, change lanes, change channels, change gears, whatever. Now get under the car and change some oil. Whatever you're working on, Advance will help you keep the wheels turning. Advance Auto Parts. Keep the wheels turning.
Two more gloomy economic reports today. Sales of new homes are at a 13-year low, and orders for durable goods like cars, appliances, and machinery fell nearly 2% last month.
This indicates the economy continues to slide into recession, and it is unlikely that the economy will be recovering in the next few months.
University of Maryland economics professor Peter Morici. President Bush predicts a turnaround when those stimulus checks go out.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. On a visit to a printing company in the Virginia suburbs of Washington, President Bush again pinned his hopes for an economic upturn on the tax rebates that go into the mail in early May.
One of the most decisive actions a government can take is to give people their money back so they can spend it, and that's exactly what we've done.
Mr. Bush says the economy is in a rough patch, but he's confident it will come out stronger than ever.
Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, in a speech today, warned Wall Street investment houses that if they want help from the Federal Reserve, they should expect more government oversight. The Dow lost 109 points today, closing at 12,422, the Nasdaq down 16. American Airlines canceled more than 300 flights today. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says the carrier's fleet of MD-80 jets is undergoing safety inspections.
crews are checking wire bundles aboard the planes after the Federal Aviation Administration reviewed the airline's maintenance records and questioned whether inspections were properly performed. American said in a statement, "We are reinspecting the MD-80s to make sure the wiring is installed and secured exactly according to the directive." The directive is a legally enforceable rule from the FAA requiring air carriers to correct unsafe conditions.
Delta is responding to the same directive by reinspecting 133 planes and says there will be some cancellations. Right about now, Space Shuttle Endeavour was supposed to be landing at the Kennedy Space Center, but clouds rolled in and the crew's been told to sit tight.
Well, Dom, unfortunately, the weather trend did not improve as we had hoped, so we are going to be waving off one orbit.
The weather is expected to improve for the next opportunity about an hour and a half from now. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
It's time to empty our schedules and fill up our flower pots. Time to unload our inboxes and load up our window boxes. It's time to grow something with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control, the potting mix that prevents under- or overwatering and lets you do just about anything except mess up. So let the creativity flow and the color and beauty grow. This weekend, get out there with Miracle-Gro. It's grow time.
Is Progressive.com an auto insurance utopia? Well, let's see. Progressive is more than just cascading waterfalls and lush green gardens. It's all your auto insurance wants and needs, like the chance to save hundreds and the fact that we're there for you 24/7 to answer any questions. And they're not answered by magical nymphs, but by licensed agents, which is nice. Start saving today at Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. That's Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company's affiliates, Mayfield Fields, Ohio. Prices vary.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, Robert Scheer returns to our program, a highly opinionated political journalist. He teaches journalism at the University of Southern California, and now owns his own printing press. It's called TruthDig.com. Robert Scheer, about 30 minutes from now. But first, we are joined by the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of California. He is Democrat John Garamendi. Hello, John.
Good to be. How are you?
I'm doing great today, and you?
Hey, I'm doing well. You enjoyed Washington?
We had a great time in Washington, yeah. Met a lot of interesting people. John Conyers dropped by and tried to deflect questions about impeachment. I have to say one of the most inspiring people is Donna Edwards, who beat an incumbent Democratic congressman in Maryland and is likely to take that seat in the fall. And kind of like the way Jerry McNerney took two tries to knock off Richard Pombo, that's the case with Donna Edwards. But she's really inspiring, a small but powerful woman, and I think that she's going to make a great addition to the Congress.
Well, about a couple more votes in the Congress and a couple more in the Senate, and we will have a great addition.
Yeah, I also, there's a guy from New York who called in. I was subbing on Air America's Tom Hartman show, and this guy appears to have an encyclopedic knowledge of the Senate races this year. And I think we're going to hire him as an unpaid consultant here on the Peter B. Collins Show, just like so many others who contribute without compensation.
60 is the magic number.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is, and I hope we can achieve that in the coming year. I want to talk about California's budget issues, but first, I just want to get your comment on the current status of the presidential campaign. You and I have talked, and I support Obama, and you support Clinton. And I just like to know your current thinking about whether the Clinton campaign should ride it all the way to the convention, even if the committed delegate count does not show her in the lead at the end of the Puerto Rican primary, which is in early June.
Well, I think you got to take an analysis of where those numbers are. If a lead is 1, 2, 3, or if the lead is 60, 70, 100, 120, those are really different numbers, and I think you need to know those before you can answer that question. So It's going to be close in all probability. Maybe it shifts one way or the other. But I can't answer it until I know where the numbers are.
Yeah. Are you discouraged by the whole Pastorgate issue? Now there are charges surfacing about Senator Clinton's pastor who allegedly has been convicted of kiddie porn or child molestation. And honestly, I'd like to see us put a stop to this. But once this kind of a theme gets introduced into a political campaign, it's very hard to get rid of it, isn't it, John?
Well, it certainly is for two reasons. One, the media, with the exception of the Peter B. Collins Show, really looks for controversy because they think that moves their ratings. The other is that you've got a lot of supporters who are either worthy of listening to or not worthy of listening to, but in fact are listened to, including some bloggers that you go, what in the world is anybody listening to them? They pick up the battle cry and they carry it forward. So the thing goes on. The thing that I found disheartening was just in the last 2 days, both Obama and Clinton have made major policy speeches on the war, in the case of Obama, and Clinton on the housing crisis and economic issues. Both are extremely important issues, but there's almost no coverage of those because they want to talk about these sideshow issues, and that's really a tragedy.
Well, and I give Senator Clinton credit. I do agree with some of her proposals. I'm not sure how a 90-day moratorium on foreclosures would actually work, but, you know, I have no objection to that. I do have a problem, John, with this panel of experts she wants to convene. That is Paul Volcker, Alan Greenspan, and Robert Rubin. I really would like to see somebody who's not a representative of big money advise the senator on the plight of middle-class Americans struggling to hold on to their homes as their mortgage costs escalate.
Well, apparently somebody has, because for nearly a year now she's been out front on the issue of this mortgage crisis and the effect on the individual homeowner and family. So she's been there for a long, long time. So exactly who advised her on that has been, or maybe she just simply knew it from her own personal experiences. Either way, she's been out there on that issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll give you that point. Now let's talk about things closer to home. The bit of good news is that because we are paying so much for gasoline at the pump, the state's share of tax revenues has shown a spike, and that's worth, what, about $3 billion? About as much as the vehicle license fee. Can we say that?
No, not quite as much. And where that money goes is not into the general kitty. It goes for specific purposes.
Mm-hmm.
The other part of it is that, you know, the actual gallonage is down. And so there's a you win some, you lose some here. And bottom line is it does not solve the budget problem.
And what is the current status? I know we passed a ballot measure that is supposed to lock in the fuel taxes to pay for highways. And, you know, in general, I think that's a good idea. But we've seen creativity among governors in the past when the revenues are down. And do you see a way that some of that money could be shifted into the general fund or used in a way that supplants the general fund?
Well, we've pretty much tied the budget process into knots with one initiative after another. The most recent initiatives make it very, very difficult to move money around. One initiative does force that sales tax money into the transportation fund. You can't pull it out to use it other places. Another initiative, these are both recent initiatives, make it almost impossible to move money in and out of local government. And so the combination of all of these initiatives, going back to Proposition 13 and the gas station in 98 and even the governor's own initiative on after-school programs, really tie the budget up to a point where it's exceedingly difficult to maneuver. And the two-thirds vote on top of that makes it guaranteed troublesome and virtually impossible to take any action.
Well, I certainly agree with those factors, and now my power question for John Garamendi today is, how would you approach this situation in contrast to Governor Schwarzenegger? He has said that he's calling for across-the-board 10% cuts, but he's going to let the legislature decide whether prisons release some inmates early or we make further cuts into education and social services. Now, I think that that is perhaps he's learning some lessons from tangling with the Democrats and the legislature in the past. But it also seems to me that he's abdicating his responsibility. I think he should be proposing the overall budget plan and not simply set targets and say, well, you kids work it out.
Well, in fact, Peter B., he did suggest a plan that was just not viable. That was the 10% across the board cut. That's a legitimate plan, although it is just not, in my view, viable and appropriate. In more recent, and he did it either knowingly or unknowingly to the benefit of all of us, because it raised the alarm signals that this is, we just can't continue as we have in the past playing these games back and forth. So he, as he said, he rattled the cage. Yes, he did, and thankfully he woke up a lot of people that were just letting things slide along. Secondly, in most recent, he's actually used the T word. So he's kind of opened that door to new revenues, even 2 days ago, suggesting that maybe we ought to broaden the sales tax to include lawyers, which isn't a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's given maneuvering room to the legislature and to set up a negotiating process. I think it's, you know, that he needs to continue to come forward with ideas, and certainly the legislature does too, and several ideas have been floated, but let me just share with you what I'm doing. I think we need to really tell Californians the truth about where we are with investment, the public investment. For sure, we could never build an economy without the private sector and the private sector investing, but the public sector has key investments that need to be made at the same time and simultaneously to the private investment. Part of that's education, certainly transportation, infrastructure, water. And I think since we should be clean and compassionate people, that we ought to be taking care of those who cannot take care of themselves because of age, disability, blindness, or other such factors. Those are all public investments in the quality and the future of our society and our economy. So the public side needs to invest. Unfortunately, the governor's budget, even the legislative analyst proposal, which was a significant step forward, are starvation budgets. They keep the state on a starvation diet. The end result is that we will not prosper because we will not have a well-educated workforce. Our health will deteriorate as health care deteriorates and so on. Now, simultaneously, government has to be willing to change. So we're talking about the education system. Other kinds of government systems have to be willing to change so that they are constantly seeking more efficient and effective ways of delivering the services. That's our challenge. That's what we ought to be doing.
All right, we're going to take a break and continue with John Garamendi. And, John, when we return, I want to talk a little bit more about something you started to raise at the very end of our segment a couple of weeks ago about your efforts to build a coalition of people to prevent any further cuts in education spending, particularly K-12 and in the university system. So we'll talk about that as we continue. If you want to talk with the Lieutenant Governor, he's with us for another segment. And lines are open for you toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's the number for the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. March Madness has struck all-class transportation in Marina. Through March 29th, all-class transportation is offering ridiculously low rates to travel in the ultimate in comfort and style. Rent an all-class transportation 8-passenger limousine for the bargain basement price of $55 an hour. A 6-passenger luxury SUV goes for just $50 an hour. And you can enjoy the plush surroundings of a 4-passenger luxury sedan for the low, low price of $45 per hour. The minimum rental time, just 1 hour. Call All Class Transportation, TCP number 22978-A at 831-582-9338, or email John and John at allclasstrans@att.net. Times are yard to yard. Gratuity is not included, and vehicles will be rented subject to availability. Remember, for all your transportation needs, call Marina-based All Class Transportation at 582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Traffic on KRXA, and not much to tell you about right now. Just one crash, Monterey County. This is Highway 1 south of the Bixby Creek Bridge. No details. CHP is on the scene. Also in Hollister, this one just coming in Shore Road at Fraser Lake Road. An accident with a couple of cars. That is off to the side. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains currently checks in Stalin, accident free. Highway 68, no problems to tell you about. This is brought to you by Sprint, announcing a revolution in wireless. The Simply Everything plan from Sprint. Now you can unleash the potential of your phone without worry that the meter is running. Visit Sprint.com/everything for more details. That's traffic on KRXA.
If you hear the song I sing, you will understand.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone.
I'd like to see some lifers released from Folsom and San Quentin and Soledad and, even Vacaville as a way to save money for the state. John Garamendi is with us, Lieutenant Governor. We're talking about the budget crunch, the shortfall in Sacramento this year. And, John, as I referenced before the break, when we last spoke a couple of weeks ago, you're working to build a coalition of activists and interest groups to try to lobby to prevent further cuts in education. And I consider that a very important goal. Tell me how that's going and where you're focusing your efforts.
Thank you, Peter B. This is very important. The education is one of the, or perhaps the principal investment that any generation makes, not only for itself, but more importantly for the next generation. And we're really falling off here. So what I did was to pull together the existing Education Coalition, which has really been a very powerful voice in the K through 12 system, from the PTA to administrators, teachers, and others, and added to it the higher education system, community colleges, the University of California,
and the state university system. All of them now have a common message about the role of education and the need to invest in education for the future well-being of the society, the people, and the economy. It's going along very, very well. The, for example, the state university system is holding community forums on each of the 23 campuses across the state. The colleges are involved. The doing the same. The University of California will soon be doing that. Both the alumni as well as the faculty and the campuses themselves. We're also looking at the students. We've formed an organization called Students for California, and they have a website. They're up. They're operating. It's www.studentsforcalifornia.org, and it's a way of coordinating. We're going to have a major rally in San Francisco and Los Angeles on April 21st, and probably rallies and demonstrations on campuses all across the state, all of it for the purpose of letting Californians know and understand the critical importance of the investment in education.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Mike in Fair Oaks, you're up first for the Lieutenant Governor. Go right ahead.
Yes, Mr. Garamundi, how are you today? I had a couple of questions about managing the managers in state government. I understand corrections is spending tens of thousands of dollars on cherry wood furniture, to say nothing of mismanaging the medical problems that they have, which is hundreds of millions.
You're right.
A question about the LAO.
Let's take them one at a time here, Mike, and I've got a bunch of callers, so okay. Let me limit you to two bites here. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, Mike brought up a subject that I spoke to earlier, which is that we have to seek efficiencies and effectiveness in our systems. And the prison system is probably example number one of where serious reform is necessary. And it's not just the cherry wood, which I suspect is small compared to other inefficiencies that are in that system, one of which I heard you say just a moment ago. We've got exceptionally old, frail men and women in prisons when they could just as easily be in a nursing home at perhaps a third of the cost.
Right. Mike, I want to jump to other callers, so thank you.
Please.
And I hope you'll forgive me for not letting you talk all day. Steven Salinas, you're next here. Go right ahead.
I'll try to be as quick as I can. I'm really concerned about cuts in education. I put No Child Left Behind in public education. There's like 100 districts, pretty close to 100 districts, are in real danger of losing all kinds of stuff for that. So if their budget gets cut 10%, that's going to make it even worse. And they'll have 35 students in a class. So the state's going to have to pay even more to come up with remedial help. And
well, you just stated the problem, at least part of the problem. There's much more to it than that. But let me get you involved. You can look at Students for California. You can look at my own website, john.garamendi@ltg.ca.gov. And you need to get out in your own community, talk to your neighbors,
I do.
Get the rallying cry.
And I think the main objective of No Child Left Behind is to destroy public education, because Bush wants to privatize everything, and it's working because nobody wants to be a public school teacher anymore, hardly.
All right, Steve, thank you for your comment. Let's get one more. Bethany in Sacramento, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Mr. Garamendi. I much like the other caller, I have some concerns. My husband is a correctional officer, about the waste in the prison system, but mainly as it has to do with prescription drugs given to prisoners and, you know, those same prescription drugs that are not available even to the older people out, you know, living out in larger society. In addition to that, just in education and how, you know, how many administrators there are versus how many school nurses there are and how many, you know, PE classes there can be. So, I mean, I'd like that addressed. I have a 3-year-old who's going to be in school soon, so I'm really worried about that.
All right. Lieutenant Governor?
Well, again, you stated the problems, and without reviewing them and going over them, it's time for parents and would-be parents to get involved, because it's really their children's future that's at stake here. And we do need to be reforming, changing, improving all of these systems, and education comes into that category as much as the prison system does. We've got to, and the LAO made some good recommendations with regard to categorical programs. Those need to be reviewed, and I think we need to go in that direction of freeing up a lot of the administrative costs that's found in the category.
John Garamendi, thanks for joining us today. Our time is up, and we'll talk again real soon.
Take care, Peter B.
California's
Bye-bye.
Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi. Robert Scheer, journalist, joins me next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
What, us worry? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The Treasury Secretary has issued his annual warning that in about 2041, Social Security will run out.
Without change, rising costs will drive government spending to unprecedented levels, consume nearly all projected federal revenues, and threaten America's future prosperity.
Yeah. Next thing you'll tell us is, I don't know, that a huge chunk of the Antarctic ice shelf has broken off.
A huge chunk of Antarctic ice has broken off.
Well, how big could it be?
The area that broke up is six times the size of Manhattan Island.
Okay, fine. Nobody would have known if you hadn't told us. And it's the same with Social Security. The problem would be invisible if people like Henry Paulson weren't always trying to scare us.
In fewer than 10 years, cash flows are projected to turn negative.
Enough! We've heard it all before, and we don't listen anymore because we know that the money will appear. Secretary Paulson needs to learn from the Defense Department. See, the Pentagon is smart. They never hold a press conference warning about how low their cash flow is. The president just says, here's how much I want. And Congress, after pretending to be outraged, votes yes. Well, if you can do it for a war that most people are now sick of, you can do it for grandma's medical bills. And if the money does run out in 2041, it's like global warming. It's the next generation's problem. Although, my personal prediction is that by 2041, the people of Iraq will be so prosperous and so grateful we rescued them that they'll pay for everything. Now this.
So, when do you think we can start drywalling?
Well, once we lay down these nagging paycheck calculations, we can put up those payroll deductions and start pouring the tax levies.
Is running your business getting in the way of running your business? That's why so many businesses nationwide rely on QuickBooks Payroll to easily handle creating paychecks, calculating payroll deductions, and preparing tax filings, so you can get back to what you do best.
You are a contractor.
For over 10 years.
QuickBooks Payroll. Get back to business. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/payroll.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Joining me in a moment, political columnist and a professor of journalism, Robert Scheer.
Take this pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise.
Don't let Robert Scheer is the founder of TruthDig.com, a great website with news and commentary. He teaches journalism at the University of Southern California, and he's a syndicated columnist, syndicated by the San Francisco Chronicle and Creators Syndicate. He is riding in an elevator at this moment, and when he reaches the right floor, he's going to be on the line with us in just a couple. His column today is about, of course, religion and politics and the intrusion of the videotapes from Pastor Jeremiah Wright of Chicago into the political campaign. And we've talked about The Family, which is a prayer group populated mostly by very conservative Republicans. And Hillary Clinton has been praying with them since 1993, as reported by Jeff Charlotte of Harper's Magazine. And a story breaking today, this is the first I've seen of this, but allegedly a former pastor of Senator Clinton's named William Prokenik has been convicted of child abuse. He has been sentenced to 3 years in prison for inappropriately touching a seven-year-old girl at his home last March. A jury found him guilty of first-degree sexual abuse and endangering the welfare of a child. And we just have to ask ourselves, how far will this go? Because I personally don't believe that Hillary Clinton is responsible for this illegal and immoral behavior of a former pastor. But yesterday, she went public with comments saying that we don't get to pick our parents, but we can pick our pastors. And she said that if she were Barack Obama, she would have left the Trinity Church in Chicago at some point. She didn't really specify that. And so I consider that to be a kind of gratuitous pile-on, and I wonder where all this will stop. How low will we go in trashing people's religious affiliations and associations in the interests of a political campaign? Robert Scheer is with us now. Bob, welcome back to the program.
Hi.
Great column today.
Thank you. You know, there's one thing I didn't nail there because I was chicken. But, you know, everyone's avoided the issue that this minister Wright raised, which maybe 9/11 was blowback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's treated that as some kind of crazy statement for him to have made, and it's gone unexamined. But the fact is, when you read the 9/11 Commission report, it's all about blowback.
Yeah. Well,
it's all about, you know, these guys getting crazy over things that we've done that they feel violates their religion and so forth. You don't have to agree with them. You certainly don't agree with their tactics.
Mm-hmm.
But what this reverend seemed to be saying about the chickens coming home to roost, you know, it should at least be discussed.
Well, and Bob, that phrase, chickens coming home to roost, was lifted from a Caucasian general named Peck, who apparently provoked this sermon by Pastor Wright by talking about the larger issues. Michael Scheuer, who's kind of a nutcase, you know, he ran the Al-Qaeda desk at the CIA before he left, but he has written several books now trying to get Americans to understand how we are perceived by Muslims and others in the world,
right,
and that our secret actions going back to Afghanistan and the opposition to the Soviet occupation in the 80s have indeed come back to bite us, and blowback is an accurate term for that.
Yeah. The other thing that ticked me off, the reason I wrote that column pointing out all the outrageous things some white ministers have said, and including the one that McCain was so happily being endorsed by, and including, of course, Pat Robertson and others,
mm-hmm,
is I personally think that religious leaders say lots of wild things.
Yeah.
And the idea that you're going to leave the congregation over, the whole point, I've always been told, is you stay there because it is provocative. It stimulates thought. He
mm-hmm
gets your attention. And I've spoken in plenty of churches where, you know, people say, oh, he's a wild guy, and that's why I like coming, you know.
Well, and last week, the interrupter-in-chief inside the Beltway, Chris Matthews, kept asking the question, you know, why didn't Barack stand up in church and challenge the pastor? Why didn't he grab him after church? And then he answered his own question by saying he goes to Catholic services every week, and come to think of it, he's occasionally praised a sermon, but never actually said, you know, Father, I think you're full of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can even say that. I don't know whether Barack disagreed or agreed with this guy. You know, but one of the points I tried to make in the column was I have yet to see what is it we're supposed to be in such profound disagreement with. you know, that the possibility, you know, what, this whole notion that, I don't know, I'm not a great biblical scholar, but this whole notion of warning about the wrath of God in relation to the spilling of innocent blood, that's a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Pat Robertson does when he says, you're committing these abortions, you're spilling innocent blood, and God's wrath will come down, and that's why we had New Orleans, and that's why we had 9/11. That's Pat Robertson's position. That's the position of plenty of these right-wing white ministers.
Mm-hmm.
So for this guy to say, you know, America, you know, you're spilling innocent blood, and you'll be damned for that, that's in a tradition, you know, of religious speak.
Well,
The idea that it was singled out, oh, those are these wild people in the black church, or that they're separatists, that's the other thing that really drove me crazy here, because I know something about the United Church of Christ, and these are the old Congregationalists who actually were the mainstay in supporting the abolitionists.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a 90% white church. I think I've spoken at almost all the major, you know, outposts.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great guy who writes on Truthdig, the website that I edit, Madison Shockley, who is the minister of a primarily white church in Orange County, in Carlsbad. And he has a very big congregation there. And he's in that. And he knew this Chicago church, which was the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
So here you had a church. These people didn't break away. They said we can be primarily a black church within a primarily, overwhelmingly white denomination. And we will be open to everyone. So this was not some separatist, wild church. And then if you go to their website and look at all of the programs they had, it's amazing. I mean, the outreach programs of training young people and, you know, empowerment and everything, and AIDS counseling and, you know, every aspect of trying to deal with basically a poorer community. This was a hardworking church.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been, you know, smeared. And I just think it's, I mean, you know, just awful. I really do.
And Bob, don't we, if we really look at this critically and citing your column here where you list a number of the ravings from right-wing white pastors, don't we really boil this down to Jeremy Wright as an uppity black man who doesn't know his place, and the media and the other critics are putting him there?
Well, let me go you one further and say it's Barack Obama is an uppity black man.
Well, I think that is the inference.
That's what
and
they're really saying. See, you seem so smart and so articulate and so reasonable and so wonderful, but we have found you're really black after all, and you hang out with these wild people. That's really what's going on here.
Remember,
and I will not forgive the Clintons for this one. I think this was her time to stand up there and say, cut it out.
Mm-hmm.
Just cut it out. That was what she should have done.
Well,
that
instead, she stood up and said that, I would have fired my pastor.
Yeah, like she did with the Muslim thing, you know, saying, you know, well, I assume he's not a Muslim, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's playing with fire there because they care really only about the Clintons. I hate to be the one to say that. And I defended, as you know, on your show, I defended the Clintons when they were very much under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point at a White House reception for the King of Morocco, Hillary Clinton, in front of a whole bunch of people, said, oh, when my name was announced, you know, you get to shake hands at these state dinners. And she said, oh, Robert Scheer, my favorite columnist in the whole world, you know. she's not my favorite candidate in the whole world now. I mean, I just think they're saying me, you know. We are the only thing, you know. And in fact, I think she would have helped her standing had she stepped forward and said, listen, this is nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, we all, you know, we have our personal relation to our ministers, and they come and go. You know, we're going to condemn every Catholic who's ever had a priest that turned out to be a child molester. You know, I mean, it's just garbage.
And Bob, remember Sister Solja from 1992, the Clinton campaign?
I remember her very well. I interviewed her for Playboy magazine.
So
a delightful woman, by the way, and a very sincere, decent person.
Mm-hmm.
Who really believed in social uplift. She was not a guilt monger. She believed we got to do for ourselves, you know. And for Bill Clinton to seize upon her and make her into some kind of wild maniac was so opportunistic and vicious, you know.
And isn't this kind of the flip of that? The Clintons challenging Obama to turn this into a rejection moment, a Sister Solja moment.
Yeah. And as I say in the column, I found it absolutely thrilling that he has the right to distance himself from the Reverend Wright. That's his right. and to say, I don't agree with this and I don't agree with the tone and so forth. That's his right. But it's great that he didn't throw the guy overboard. I would have really lost all. You know, they say Barack Obama hasn't been vetted. He hasn't been tested. He's unknown. I think this thing has tested him, and it's shown that he's a class act.
I agree. I think he's shown great grace under fire. And the speech in Philadelphia, Bob, was talking to us as adults. He was not defensive. He was not talking down to us or preaching. He really spoke from his insides and explained.
And he lets us, you know, he thinks out loud. He lets us see the thought process. It's not all canned. Mm-hmm. But, you know, one point I made in my column bringing up Martin Luther King's Riverside Church speech.
Yeah.
I knew King. I published that speech in Ramparts magazine when I was the editor. And I had dealings with Martin Luther King. I had enormous respect for the man. But Martin Luther King said things that were much tougher than what Reverend Wright has said. In the middle of the war in Vietnam, remember what Muhammad Ali, how he was blasted for saying he wouldn't go and all that?
Sure.
In the middle of that war, and by the way, here's the Reverend Wright, who had spent 6 years in the Marines and the Navy, 6 years, got a real education in what's involved with all this stuff. And at that time, when he left the Navy, Martin Luther King gave that speech April 4th, at Riverside Church in 1997. And, a year before he died, and Martin Luther King condemned the United States as the major purveyor of violence in the world today. That's a much stronger statement than anything I heard out of Reverend Wright. You know, in the middle of a war, when we have hundreds of thousands of troops were over there and everything, and Martin Luther King just said that cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he said, I would not be able to go and tell young people in the black community to shun violence and all that if I did not challenge my own government on this. And it was King's bravest moment.
Well, and by 67, Bob, he was probably aware that J. Edgar Hoover was monitoring his every move.
Oh, was out to destroy him. And that wasn't just Hoover. You know, by the way, the New York Times editorialized then condemning him. Said, why is he mixing the civil rights movement up with Vietnam? And as King pointed out, you get into these things like we have with Iraq, and the first thing that happens is that money that you could have otherwise had available for your social programs, the poverty programs, is gone. That was the whole, one of the points King was making. You're draining, the poverty program is over because you're locked into Vietnam here. And you're fighting this war on the back of people, white and black, who basically go there because it's a job opportunity, or they've been drafted in that case. That speech was King's best, I think. It was much better than I Have a Dream speech. And he was condemned for it, including in the New York Times.
We're going to take a break and return with Robert Scheer. You can read his work at truthdig.com. And it's also in the San Francisco Chronicle today. You can find that at sfgate.com. If you have a comment, bring it on now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Podcast of this program is available. There's a link on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We do have an accident. Hollister Shore Road at Fraser Lake Road. Two cars. They're both off to the right-hand shoulder. CHP is on the scene taking a report. An accident for Monterey County Highway 1 south of the Bixby Creek Bridge. CHP has been on the scene with that for quite a while. Still not giving us any details, but look for a little bit of heavy traffic as you approach the scene there. As you go from Morgan Hill into South San Jose, North 101 before Bailey Avenue, a big metal frame. That's in the second lane from the left, so definitely watch out there. Some road construction going on Santa Cruz County 236 at China Grade Road. One-way traffic control there until about 5 o'clock, so that is wrapping up soon, but look for delays. And in Santa Cruz northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp still shut down for road work there. This traffic report is brought to you by Harley Davidson. Why waste time sitting in your car? Grab life by the ape hangers and get out and ride. Check out 13 Harley models under $15,000 during March Badness. Visit HarleyDavidson.com to find your closest dealer today. Now, if you're out and about and you spot a traffic problem, we'd love to know about it. Give us a call, 415-901 1-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Turning to this station or logging on to the web at peterbcollins.com.
The world is collapsing around our ears. I turned up the radio. I can't hear it.
We continue with syndicated columnist Robert Scheer. He also teaches journalism at the University of Southern California. And, Bob, I don't know if you know about this, but I was a little surprised. Last week I turned on the Fox News Channel, and I heard Sean Hannity bragging about how he was the first to play tapes of Jeremiah Wright as long as a year ago. And then what stunned me was he linked it to an honor that he has conferred upon himself. He linked that to being the first to play the Swift Boat General's tapes and interview them on his Fair and Balanced show back in 2004. And it really pulled the lid off and showed just how conscious the Fox News Channel is of its duty to bring down any liberal.
Oh, not any liberal, any rational person, my goodness. I mean, they'll destroy a Republican who talks sense. I mean, these guys, you know, I don't even know what drives them anymore. It surely is not the interest of the country. I mean, you would think there'd be some pause after a disaster like Iraq. You'd think there'd be some pause. You look at what's happening in Iraq today. We have created a religious civil war and an incredible division within the Shiites. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And a mess that will take 50 years to resolve in a country that, you know, for all of the misreporting in this country, really did not have profound religious splits. You know, it's quite interesting, you know. There's actually a very good article in Rolling Stone by Mira Rosen. Are you familiar
mm-hmm.
with that?
Yeah, Mira Rosen's amazing.
Yeah, Mira Rosen has written for Truth Dig, and we've interviewed him. My son Joshua Scheer interviewed him. But he's got a terrific piece, I believe it's this week's Rolling Stone, might have been last week's, on what has happened there in Iraq. And when you read that, you wonder, what do these guys at a place like Fox News, what are the neocons, what do they think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he makes a very valid point, which I've seen documented in many other places, which is that, you know, in fact, the Ba'ath Party and the Iraqi army had a majority of Shiites. This whole notion that somehow religious fratricide existed in Iraq all this time is utter nonsense.
Well, and Bob, as Cheney and Bush demonize Iran, We are embracing the Skiri forces against the Mahdi right. army in southern Iraq. And those are the very people that John McCain couldn't get the name right about last week.
Right.
They're the ones who go into Iran for training and come back to cause trouble for the U.S. and our puppet government.
Oh, not only that. They're the ones who lived in, and their leaders lived in Iran for, you know, 15, 20 years, and
right.
they're the ones who embraced the president of Iran when he came to visit recently. I mean, so here you have an administration and Fox News that started out telling us that Iran was the worst nation out there, and we've now extended their power from Lebanon to Iraq, you know, and Hamas. You know, these are all Hezbollah and Hamas, and now here in Iraq, these are all movements that are very closely tied in with the Ayatollahs. So I'm not trying to re-debate that. I mean, I'm willing to debate that anytime. But the idea that these arrogant SOBs on Fox, I mean, that facts and logic just don't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a pause. I mean, I don't know. Most people I know can't function that way. I mean, I know I write these columns, and I wake up at 3, 4 in the morning thinking, sure, you're full of it. You got it all wrong. Go check this back. Go check that. Was it April? Was it May? You know, blah, blah, blah. Everyone I know is like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, liberals, or conservatives. Most human beings are filled with questioning and doubt and, you know, and sometimes to an extreme. They don't have confidence that they need. But most of us have a healthy measure of self-criticisms lurking around in there. These guys seem to, I don't know what it is, did they drink something? That it just disappears. I guess that's the key now to being a successful pundit.
My other Fox snapshot was the lead-in to Obama's speech from Philadelphia. There were some problems with the PA system where he was speaking, and there was a delay. And so the white male anchor and the leggy blonde co-anchor brought in that well-known commentator on race in America, Bill Kristol.
Yeah.
And there was not an African American anywhere in sight on the Fox News set.
Yeah, and Kristol, who was rewarded for getting everything wrong in the last 10 years by being made a columnist at the New York Times.
Yeah, isn't that beautiful? We
yeah.
go to John in Carmel Valley. Hi, John, you're on the air.
I'd like to ask Robert Scheer, is it possible that the reason the Clintons are stooping to so much dirty techniques is that our principal moral pace setter, George Bush, has showed everybody that it works time and time again, not just politically in campaigning, but he's shown how to be untouchable beyond untouchability, and that's the biggest question of all. But morals are just out the door, period. And I think he is hugely to blame, but do you think that?
Well, there's no question that they've been successful in following a pattern of lying, you know, deceit, and that it does work.
You're talking to the man who co-authored a book, The Five Biggest Lies Bush Used to Take Us into Iraq, or something
yeah,
close to that.
Five Biggest Lies Bush Told. But, you know, I can't challenge that, and maybe there are advisors to the Clintons that tell them they have got to get into the sewer you know, in order to get to the other side or something, but I can't endorse that.
Bob, have you heard, is it true Al Davis is a consultant to the Clinton campaign and is just telling him to just win, baby?
You know, but wait a minute. Let me answer your caller there by using the Raiders as an analogy. The fact is they haven't been winning.
Yeah.
You know, I know this because I'm one of those sad ticket holders that sits there, you know, a miserable year after year. I mean, the point is, yes, you know, your caller, you know, is making an obvious point. You know, politics has become really ugly, and I guess what the Clintons would say is, you know, the way to win is to triangulate, to deceive, to do that. I don't think it really works in the long run, certainly. It's certainly not good for the country.
Well, you should hear, we found a clip of Bill Clinton appearing on the Limbaugh show on the day of the Texas and Ohio primaries, where he talked about how upbeat and uplifting the 3 a.m. spot is.
Well, you know...
I mean, it's comic.
I'm tired of the Clintons, frankly, but I'm not important. You know, I'm an old guy, and no one cares how I vote anyway. But I can tell you, having, you know, 300 or 250 students a term, and, you know, 500-600 a year, and having three sons... And, you know, I have a 26-year-old who's the editor of Truth Dig, Peter Scheer. and I look at his friends, some of whom have volunteered.
5 seconds, go, Bob. Sorry, I got to run. Thank you. Thank you, Robert Scheer. Always great to talk with you.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll-free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. This can't go on indefinitely. That was the message for President Bush today when he was briefed at the Pentagon by the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They told him there's a serious risk that the military would not be able to send reinforcements to Afghanistan or any other trouble spot unless troop withdrawals from Iraq can continue. More from CBS News correspondent David Martin.
The chiefs endorsed the recommendation of General David Petraeus, the top commander in Iraq, for a several-week pause in withdrawals when the surge ends this July and American troop levels are down to 140,000. That will allow the Army to end its 15-month combat tours and go back to slightly less punishing 12-month deployments. But neither the chiefs nor Petraeus are willing to make any commitment to further withdrawals, and the president agrees.
The head of the Michigan group set up to fund humanitarian work in Iraq was taken into custody last night when he returned from a trip to the Middle East. Federal prosecutors say that during the run-up to the war, he used money from Saddam Hussein to arrange a trip to Iraq for three members of Congress. More from CBS News reporter Stephanie Lambadakis.
As he stepped off a plane, Muthanna Al-Hanoudi was arrested and charged with being an unregistered agent for Iraq under the Saddam Hussein regime. But this case has a twist. Al-Hanoudi worked for an Islamic charity that arranged and paid for a congressional delegation to visit Iraq in 2002. Allegedly, that trip was secretly financed by the Iraqi intelligence service. The Justice Department stresses, however, that there is no evidence the three lawmakers who took the trip knew who was really funding it.
One of the lawmakers who went, Democrat Mike Thompson of California, says the trip was approved by the State Department and he wanted to learn as much as he could before voting on a war resolution. After one extra orbit, Space Shuttle Endeavour is on its way home to the Kennedy Space Center. CBS News correspondent Peter King is there and joins us live.
Bill, they're going to land in darkness. The second opportunity was touch and go almost to the last second. The weather borderline cloudy. Mission Control asked Commander Dom Gorey if he'd rather wait until tomorrow to land in daylight.
Jim, we trained for the last couple months at night, both Fox and I feel really comfortable with that. And we're comfortable with that weather. If you guys are.
Also playing into the decision, two shuttle commanders eyeballing the weather in a jet that mimics the shuttle's movements. They gave it the thumbs up. Endeavor's due to touch down in 37 minutes. Bill?
After reports that durable goods orders and new home sales are down, President Bush tried to reassure Americans that the economic stimulus plan will turn things around.
I fully recognize that people are concerned about our economy, but they must understand that this package has yet to fully kick in yet. We've taken action, but it's going to take a while for the economy to feel the effects of this good law that I signed.
The first checks go out in May. The Dow down 109 points today, closing at 12,422. The NASDAQ lost 16. This is CBS News.
They say a man should always dress for the job he wants. So why am I dressed up like a pirate in this restaurant? It's all because some hacker stole my identity. Now I'm in here every evening serving chowder and iced tea. Should have gone to freecreditreport.com. I could have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb. They monitor your credit and send you email alerts so you don't end up selling fish to tourists in t-shirts.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Looking to diversify your portfolio? It's time to start trading foreign currencies at Forex.com. In these financial times, diversification is key. At Forex.com, we give you the tools you need to expand your investment portfolio beyond stocks and into the OTC foreign exchange market. Start trading foreign currencies 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. Go to Forex.com, open a free practice account today, and test your trading strategies risk-free. When you're ready, just click and trade. Forex.com.
Forex is an over-the-counter market and involves significant risk of loss.
Millions have made the solemn pilgrimage to the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington. Now millions more have the opportunity to visit without the trouble of making the trip. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the story.
More than 58,300 names are carved into the wall, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, crowded with tourists on a sunny, warm afternoon. Now on the internet, anyone can see the wall. Go to footnote.com. You can search by name or hometown and also find out how each person died. And people who knew them are encouraged to post more information and photographs.
Researchers at the Marine Biological Laboratory at Woods Hole, Massachusetts, have a $270,000 government grant to study whether fish can be trained to swim into nets. They say it would revolutionize fish farming. Fish could feed in open water, saving the cost of supplying food, and then swim in to be captured at the sound of a tone. Not known is how many fish might be lost to predators. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
What if I told you buying a good used car just got a whole lot easier? And what if you could know the history, mileage, and price of that used car long before you even go to the dealership? Well, here's the answer. Simply go online and search Yahoo for Honda certified used cars. You'll see the current selection at the Honda dealers nearest you, along with the information you need to make an informed decision. Feels good to be in control, doesn't it? Okay, no more questions. Honda certified used cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
We change our clothes, we change our channels, we change our minds. But when it comes to your car, nothing is more satisfying than changing your own oil. Go to Advanced Auto Parts, where Pennzoil conventional motor oil is only $7.96 a gallon. It's less than $2 a quart. Buy it. The sale ends March 29th. Drive home, change lanes, change channels, change gears, whatever. Now get under the car and change some oil. Whatever you're working on, Advanced will help you keep the wheels turning. Advanced Auto Parts. Keep the wheels turning.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
It's time for the Free Speech Zone. Lines are open for you. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. We take calls on any topic, from any viewpoint, from anywhere, within the sound of my voice. Don't make me wait. And don't wait till the end of the hour. A lot of times that happens where people hang back and we end up with people dangling on hold as the program ends and Trigger comes to haul me off. So don't delay. Get on the line right now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. For those of you with those fancy iPhones that don't have the ABCs on the numbers, it's 888-573-8372. 888-573-8372. In so many cases, you need to put a 1 in front of that. But I figure you know how to operate those gizmos. Plenty to talk about. You heard Robert Scheer's commentaries. You heard John Garamendi talk about California's budget woes. Stephen Zunis was on with us talking about this bizarre situation where we criticize Iran and then we embrace those who are closest to Iran in the battle against the Mahdi army, the Mahdi army, in Iraq. And it's convoluted, it is incoherent, and the bottom line is we've created a mess and it will haunt us for a long time to come, even when we do start to withdraw. Closer to home, the Republicans offering more dire predictions about Medicare and Social Security. They say that we just have a few more years of solvency in Medicare and Social Security by about 2035 or 2041 will be running out of money. And this is so simple. Senator Clinton has talked about creating a new commission to further study the issue. And to his credit, I haven't heard Obama talk about this lately, but he said, look, all we got to do is raise the FICA cap. It's now at about $96,000, which means that anybody who earns more than 100 grand only pays Social Security tax on the first 96,000. It's ridiculous. And the fix is so obvious, it's right in front of our eyes. We don't need a commission. We don't need to study this to death. And certainly, with the meltdown on Wall Street and the performance of the stock market, I don't think anybody is deluded enough to still propose that Americans should take their Social Security money and invest it themselves. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not the world's greatest investor. I got me a little portfolio, and I've got an IRA. And I bought some great stocks over the years, and I never know when to sell them. And so I watch them go up, and then I hold on to them as they go down, down, down. And, to be honest, what there is of my fortune is in the hands of a professional, an investment advisor who gets a little fee from me for managing that money. And in the same way, I would not want to have responsibility for all of my retirement money. I'm not the greatest investor, and I don't think most people are. And the ideas, the hazy ideas of so-called reform and privatization that Bush floated back in 2004 and 2005 are, thankfully, pretty much in the past. But I just think that we need straightforward talk about this, and none of this fear-mongering that, oh, Medicare is going to go belly up, and Social Security will be bankrupt. Well, the fixes are there, and they're easy enough. We just have to face up to them. Barack and Michelle Obama have released their tax returns for the last 6 years. They're doing pretty well. Combined income of $1.6 million in 2005, about $985,000 in 2006. A lot of that is book money from the two books that Barack published. He earned $1.2 million in 2005 from Dreams of My Father and $500,000 in 2006 from The Audacity of Hope. And you'll be hearing about this from Sean Hannity, so I'll just break it to you myself. The Obamas gave $27,500 to the Trinity United Church of Christ, whose former pastor, Jeremiah Wright, is so much in the news these days. Anybody seen Hillary's tax returns? They're promising that we're going to see something. And she said maybe around tax time. And I have empathy for that. I'm spending my evenings right now with my calculator and all those receipts from last year, trying to pull together my tax return for 2007. But I'm just not convinced that we're going to get full disclosure from Bill and Hillary Clinton on where their money has come from, as they've gotten incredibly wealthy in the post-presidential years. 888-5, Peter B., you can comment on these or any other topics that are on your mind. 888-573-8372. We've got lines available. Red knows how it works. He's on the line already. Hi, Red.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing all right today.
Good. Having a nice afternoon?
It's not too bad. The heat wave kind of tapered off. We're down into the 60s in the Bay Area today, but we're coping.
Yeah, I'm out in the backyard banging nails. It's really nice.
Oh, nice.
Listen, I just thought I'd mention, particularly with Scher's discussion about ugly politics, just mention that, in some way, Hillary's candidacy might be a blessing in disguise.
Or?
And the reason I say that is that if we look at this not as dirty politics, versus clean politics, or truthful politics versus dishonest politics, and so on and so forth, the way we're dividing it up. But if we look at it as old politics versus new politics, it may be a really a valuable blessing to have in our own party the contrast between the old political machinery and the possibility of a new kind of political machinery,
mm-hmm.
something that does it different. If that had been just, if we had had two Obama candidates who tried to do it fair and tried to do it clean, then we would just be saying that it was the Republicans who did dirty things, and the Democrats were clean, and the machinery would go on, and it's the machinery that listens to money, that fosters its own ambition and so mm-hmm. on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But because these two exist in our own party at the same time, if we stop thinking of Hillary as a candidate demon, but as a representative of an old, what was an old and then honest politics. That has been the honest politics. Those politicians, which include McCain and other Republicans and Bush and his cronies and all that, although that they're pretty extreme, but it includes them. That's an old politics, and they see themselves as playing the game in a perfectly honest way. That's why Hillary doesn't get it, because she's working in an old style political machinery.
Well, Red,
and she really thinks that works.
I think you have an intriguing idea here.
We get to see both
Red, let's not both talk at the same time, Red.
Hillary, the bad person, but old style politics versus new. And if we choose the new, it will stick with us.
Okay, now, Red, do I get to talk?
Oh, sure. That's all I have to say.
All right. Now, I agree with you up to a point. I do think there's an interesting contrast between what young people call old school and what Obama is offering. However, it may never survive the primary process if what the Clintons decried as the politics of personal destruction continue to be a component of their campaign.
That may be, and that's a test, isn't it?
And so, if the Clintons were content to put their best foot forward, to let Hillary shine, as she does, on many policy points. She's excellent on health care, and I take nothing away from her on that.
I don't think she's excellent in health care. I think both Obama and Hillary have a kind of old-style politics.
Okay, but Red, what I'm saying is she has a great command of the subject. I'm a single-payer guy, and she's never going to go there.
Mm-hmm.
But I have respect for her command of the issue. Likewise, when she started talking about the economy and foreclosures and trying to help people stay in their homes, she shows an uncanny connection to working families. But then she went ahead and said that she would appoint Paul Volcker, Alan Greenspan, and Robert Rubin. And they're the dons of Wall Street.
That's
they
right.
are the kings of capital.
Right.
They don't
that's
have
old style politics understands and knows.
Right.
So she could make things better, but she couldn't really reform them. That machinery isn't capable of reforming us. But a new style of politics make, and I agree with you, there's a risk when there's a revolutionary change in the paradigm of politics. There's a big risk. But I frankly think that risk is worth taking, because I think all of the solutions to issues that come out of the old style politics are taking us down a track to our inevitable destruction.
Well, and I am prepared to take that risk, and it's why I stepped out back in December and said, I'm going to vote for Barack Obama, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
The risk that we are facing is one that we don't want to misunderstimate, as Bush might say, because we have to look at the tenacity, the determination, and the investment that so many Clinton supporters have in relatively the status quo. Sure, they want to change a few policies, but, they're into just their turn at the helm, and there's a whole group of people who worked for the Clintons for the 8 years in the 1990s, many of whom think that they've got another run in Washington if their girl gets elected.
Right, and new politics doesn't guarantee that it's going to be able to straighten it out. It's the unknown. And there is a good reason to be frightened, and there's a good reason why people who vote against their own interests do so
mm-hmm.
year after year, rather than stepping off in some wild cockamamie progressive scheme. And it's that fear. But if you're going to make a change, if you're going to change the paradigm, then you have to calculate that risk and then decide if you're going to take it. And I think it is well worth taking, considering where we've gotten ourselves to and how precarious, how much risk there is. Now there's almost an equal risk in not changing the paradigm.
All right, Red, great analysis. When you finish the book, send it to me, okay?
Thank you, Peter.
All right, that's Red in Sacramento. More of your calls coming up next. Lines are open for you, 888-5. Peter B., what do you think about Red's idea, old school versus new? 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This is Cynthia from Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Carmel, and we have something new, a unique opportunity to give yourself or someone special the gift of consultation with nationally respected life coach and career mentor, Raymond Davi. Paul and I know firsthand the empowerment Ray has to offer. Discover how changes can propel you where you want to go in the areas of personal and career growth or planning goals for ongoing success, as well as insights for your work-life balance. Don't hesitate. Call and reserve your 90-minute appointment or purchase a gift certificate now. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, 624-4955 or www.pilgrimsway.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey and Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA, starting in Monterey, northbound 1 at Casa Verde Way. Getting reports that a dog is on the shoulder running into the lanes. Definitely drive with caution there. Capitola heads up northbound 1 after 41st Avenue. It's a cardboard box that's between the lanes there. Eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway. We have a three-car crash with all the activity off to the side. CHP is on the scene taking a report. An older crash still clearing up in Hollister Shore Road at Fraser Lake Road. We have two cars off to the side. And for South San Jose, heads up north. Northbound 101 before Bailey Avenue, a big metal frame, that's in the second lane from the left. Four cars hit that debris. They've all pulled off to the side. One of these vehicles actually leaking fuel into the roadway, so fire department may be on the scene doing some cleanup. This is brought to you by the California Public Utilities Commission. Call CalPhone Info at 1-800-818-5009 for free information to help you get smarter about telephone services provided by the California Public Utilities Commission. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm still here, your humble host, Peter B. This program's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill, and she's on duty taking your calls right now at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments, welcome right now. 888-573-8372. You got that?
I feel so extraordinary. This feeling and emotion, a certain sense of liberty. I can't cause I'm not fair. I don't care if I'm here tomorrow. I've been and I've been, I've taken too much of the things that cost you too much. I used to make that.
And up next on the phone, it's Peter in Sacramento, listening on the mighty 1240 KSAC. Hi, Peter. Are you there? Hello, Peter. Gosh, we had a caller named Peter. Not a Pete, a real Peter. And apparently he's not there. Peter, give us a call back and be happy to talk to you. And now I think I just hung up on the next caller. whoever was calling, call back. That was my mistake. I hung up on you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. A little bit more here on the Obama tax returns. I think it's kind of interesting to see that Obama has gone public with this, even though there is some information that can be used against him, such as his contributions to the Church of Jeremiah Wright. But also, he recently took a position that even surprised a progressive Chicago-area congresswoman, Jan Schakowsky. I spoke with her in Washington last week, and this was not off the record, but it was off the air. And I said, yeah, I was pretty impressed that Senator Obama has released a list of all the earmarks that he requested for Illinois, or anywhere, I guess, in the country, from the budgets over the last couple of years, including one that has drawn some raised eyebrows because it went to the University of Illinois Medical Center there in Chicago, where one Michelle Obama works. And so despite the potential implications of that, he decided that full disclosure was more important than the embarrassment of the linkage between an earmark and the place where his wife works. Now, it's been reported that the money didn't go to her department, and it's not seen as any kind of an illegal or unethical move, but, you know, it has that appearance. And I just think it's interesting that he has the courage to take these things on. And that's the new kind of politics that Red was referring to, who we talked to a few minutes ago. I think we have Peter back. Hello, Peter.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, thanks for calling.
You're very welcome. I listen to a lot of talk radio because I drive about 100,000 miles a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if sometimes if you guys really listen to some of the things you're saying. I mean, if you really pay attention to what you're saying.
I think so, but tell me. Tell me what...
Okay, what I hear from so many commentators, because I listen primarily to this one station whenever I'm in Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
is that everybody's going on about how what Ms. Clinton's doing is destroying your party and going to cost you a chance to win in November, and that you all compliment Mr. Obama for taking such a high road and not engaging her directly, yet you seem to miss the chance to really call her out on what she's doing. It's not what she's doing right now is not representative of what a good person is. Right? A good person does not dissemble and accuse someone else of doing what they did, although she didn't. The whole NAFTA thing mm-hmm. before Ohio. A good person does not say it's a good start that he's released 6 years of his tax returns and then is going to hold on to hers preciously until it's the last weekend before Pennsylvania. A good person does not practice politics as usual because there's no time for that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She's carried herself as a person, and I can be totally objective because I'm neither Democrat nor Republican. And I don't have an axe to grind against any candidate, but I'm just telling you from a personal standpoint, you mentioned, well, she's got a great grasp of the issues when you talk about health care, but anybody with any common sense or rationale at all knows that single-payer health insurance is the only workable, fair, and just solution to our health problem.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's not for that, she does not have a good grasp. What she seems to have a good grasp for is how to get herself elected and how to damage the other candidate.
Peter?
And I don't honestly hear enough of that coming from you people.
All right. I appreciate what you're saying. I've got to go to a break now. You want to hold on? Because I'd like
sure,
to talk with
on.
You further, okay? I think this is interesting. And you can join in, too. Let me know your thoughts. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Looking for ways to improve and beautify your landscape with sound environmental practices and enjoy seasonal produce from your own land? Well, Tree of Life Ecological Services offers landscaping and design to suit your specific garden needs, large or small. Contact Tree of Life Ecological Services at treeoflifees.com or call 831-566-EDEN. That's 566-3336.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
live from the left coast. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Go ahead and shake it just like a Polaroid. Picture. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're in the free speech zone. Your calls are welcome right here at 888-5-PETER-B. There are a couple of lines open, so don't be shy. Don't wait till the last minute. 888-573-8372. I want to pick up where we left off before the break with caller Peter from Sacramento. And, Peter, I appreciate your comments, and let me just respond that I find myself in a bit of a balancing act and sometimes a delicate one, because I've noticed, because of my strong opinions and my open support for Barack Obama, that Clinton supporters have stopped calling the program. And so maybe I go too far when I say that Hillary has a good grasp of the health care issues. But it's my effort to try to signal those who support her that I am not rejecting them or their preference for her on a basis of qualifications. It is a basis of policy. And the other thing is that I have tried very hard to avoid, declining into the name-calling game. And I monitor myself fairly well, and to my knowledge and my own self-criticism, I have not engaged in any kind of routine name-calling or efforts to belittle the candidate I don't support by using cheap shots or personal attacks or, you know, just basic sliming. And so give me feedback. Is that what you hear? And if you still have criticism, I want to hear it.
No, what I hear is a whole bunch of apology for her behavior and her actions. I mean, she's basically performed as a person who had a sense of entitlement these last few weeks and feels like she's been deprived of that entitlement. And she's been very churlish at the least. I don't have a problem with her being really a harsh campaigner, because that's only going to be to Mr. Obama's benefit in the fall, from what he's going to get for the Republicans. But what it's come to, this quasi-endorsement of Mr. McCain, like I said, I don't really have any preference in this election, but I do believe in being a team player, especially that's why they call it a political party.
Yeah.
And she's come out on two occasions and practically endorsed Mr. McCain, and her husband has come out on one other occasion and practically endorsed Mr. McCain.
Well, you're right, Peter, and I have criticized that. Perhaps you've heard it, maybe not.
Well, I haven't heard enough of that. I mean, somebody really needs to call her on that, because she's going to lose this election. And Mr. Obama is going to win in the fall. The truth eventually raises its ugly, beautiful head. No matter what efforts the Hannitys and the Limbaughs and the Fox keep it hidden.
All right.
There's going to be enough commonsensical people that are going to get out and vote so that Mr. Obama is going to get 270 electoral votes this fall.
Well, Peter,
she's going to need those people back. I have to let you go. I'm sorry, Peter, because my daughter's calling me and she needs to come home.
All right, Peter, thank you very much. I appreciate your call today. Good to have you on the program. And he used the word churlish. I like that. That's a man with a vocabulary. Up next, Gordy in Sacramento. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, I just kind of wanted to talk about all the Hillary bashing that I hear on your program and most of the other progressive programs. I was a big supporter of Hillary, but I still like Obama. And I would vote for Obama, but it's just getting a little bit ridiculous.
All right, I want you to give me an example, Gordy, and don't include other.
And I'm not saying that you didn't necessarily yourself, although I have heard it, but when the callers came call in and say all sorts of things about Hillary, you agree with them, and you elaborate on whatever they're saying. And of course, when Barack Obama does things, you make light of something like the fact that the $27,000 he gave to the hospital his wife works at is no consequence. Well, you don't know that. It may have been a consequence.
Gordy, hold on a sec.
Yes.
First of all, the $27,500 was the Obama family's contributions to their church. All right? You mixed up two things that I said. The other part I said I admire that he has released a list of his earmarks, even though one of those was about $125,000 to the public hospital where Michelle Obama works. And what I said was the reports I've read indicate that it didn't go to her department, it didn't benefit her directly, but despite the appearance of a potential conflict of interest, he went ahead and released that information. Now, Gordy, I want you to be specific. How do you parse the difference between honest criticism of Hillary Clinton's positions on issues and her campaign tactics, and when for you does it cross over into what you call Hillary bashing?
Well, I listen to quite a few talk radio stations, yours among the others, and the impression I get from most of the progressives' talk personnel on these stations is that they're all bashing Hillary every chance they get. With comments, jokes, and all. I can't name you specific instances, but that's what I've been getting for the last several months.
All right, well, Gordy.
And you mentioned it a while ago that Hillary supporters are probably not listening to your station. I don't anymore. I just turned it on this afternoon just for a few minutes, and all of a sudden it started again, and I said, well, you know, I'm going to call and complain.
Gordy. What I want to do is I want to offer you this opportunity. I want you to be my monitor of Hillary bashing. And if you hear me, not Ed Schultz, not any other host, but me, if you hear me bashing Hillary Clinton in a way that you think is below the belt or otherwise unfair, I want you to call in immediately and tell me what you heard and why it bothered you. Okay?
I'll certainly do that.
Because I would like to know if I cross that line. I am not doing it intentionally. In fact, I'm restraining myself a little bit because I don't want to visit on Clinton supporters what I see happening to Obama supporters. There are people who are getting so turned off by the tone of this campaign that they may not vote this fall. And I don't want to turn off Hillary supporters because I'm hoping that Barack Obama wins the nomination and he's going to need every one of Hillary Clinton's supporters to defeat the Republicans in the fall. That's my honest calculus, Gordy. And thank you for your call. I wait to hear from you when you hear some bashing on this program. Ron and Davis, you're next. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, buddy. Listen, I hate to be a snob, but I can't talk about Hillary and Barack. They're such minor items. Because I've been going crazy for the last 4 or 5 years in terms of what has happened to our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And what is in place now in terms of realpolitik is a quasi-fascist or soft fascist state. That's how we live. That's what's happening. And the candidates, none of them except Dennis maybe, Kucinich, address the massive, massive just tearing apart of the Constitution, which all politicians have sworn to uphold,
mm-hmm.
and these mountains of things, whether they're signing statements, the Patriot Act, listening in on people, congressmen not even understanding the Constitution, our president doesn't even read it. I'm just going... it's like all we're doing with politicians and talking about them and personalities and screaming and jumping up and down is rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Well, Ron, with one exception. the next president can make an important difference by rejecting the use of signing statements, closing Guantanamo Bay, reinstating habeas corpus and the Geneva Conventions, and repudiating the power grabs, including the NSA domestic spying program, that have been imposed by this president. I don't think those are trivial. And I do think that Barack Obama, who is a constitutional law professor, has strong positions on these issues. He has addressed most of the litany that I just recited in one form or another. And while I would like to see a return to constitutional government and a rejection of fascism as an open campaign theme, I do understand the way Obama is operating and that he is trying to win. And there is a certain amount of faith that one has to invest here, that his background, his training, and his inclinations will be borne out in his policies in a way that's more explicit than what he's able to say on the campaign trail.
You know, I wish I could say the same, but because I've studied how the imperial presidency has developed since FDR, he's going to be falling into the most powerful position in the United States. And the wreckage that has been done by various presidents,
right.
And, you know, it's just like chipping away at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just enormous.
But,
I mean,
but Ron, have you heard,
Commander Chief.
Ron,
yeah.
Have you heard Barack Obama say
mm-hmm.
that he not only repudiates the mindset that took us into Iraq, but
right.
he wants to change that mindset? That's not a trivial statement. That's not, you know, just nibbling around the edges.
But I don't, mindset doesn't mean anything to me, Peter. I need facts based upon the Constitution. I need him to come out and say, now, according to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 11, Congress has the power to declare war. And then I need him to go to Article 2, Section 2, where it says, the president shall be the commander-in-chief mm-hmm. when the armed forces are called into action.
Ron,
who calls them into action?
Ron, I care about those issues the same way you do, and
well,
it would be
the reason I'm
yeah, but hold on. It would be political suicide for him to start citing chapter and verse of the Constitution. The average voter can't absorb that.
So, Ron,
I'm going to move on. I thank you for your call today, and you can call again. Now to Patrick in Monterey, listening on KRXA. You're on the air, Patrick.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Pretty good.
I wanted to ask you a question before I get to the 2 points I mentioned to the call screener. Have you heard any updates on Bernie Ward?
I don't have any news. I talked to Bernie about a month ago after the transcripts were posted online, and it's very difficult. He's in a difficult legal position, and it looks like the case will go to court in May or June sometime.
I hope all the best for him. I love Bernie Ward. The 2 points I mentioned, your call screener, I'm going to probably lose my phone here as I'm approaching Fort Ord. But one was the story that if the convention ends up being brokered between Hillary and Obama, I was wondering what you thought about the possibility that they've mentioned about a Gore-Obama or a Gore-Clinton ticket. And the other topic I wanted to bring up mm-hmm. for everybody to chew about was brought up on the Tom Hartman show, and Sam Cedar brought it up yesterday on Randy Rhodes about the study that the Saudi government is ordering in case there's nuclear fallout if we attack all of the nuclear labs.
I am aware of that, and of course this occurs on the heels of Dick Cheney's latest visit to the kingdom, holding hands with the king and all that stuff. I am concerned. I need to know more about that. As to your first question, it is possible that if we go to the convention in Denver and there is no winner on the first ballot, all kinds of different things could occur. A nomination of an Al Gore for either vice president or president could occur if there's a deadlock on the first ballot.
I think with Hillary, man, it was like, oh, my God, why are you making this story up about Bosnia? It was so unnecessary. And personally, I'd be happy with Gore at the top of the ticket. I'm an Obama supporter like you are, but I think Hillary's, even if she's on the bottom of the ticket, she could hurt the Democrats' chances. Pardon me.
Well, I think you're right. Not everyone agrees with us because there are a lot of Hillary supporters, but her negatives.
I just think she's toxic. I got to go. My phone's going to drop me.
Gotcha, Patrick. Thank you. Her negatives are so high, and as I pointed out, what she's been trying to do, what her campaign's been trying to do, is to get Barack Obama's negatives into the same stratosphere where she lives, and that's bad for everybody. We're going to take a break and return. Like I predicted, the switchboard's jammed. We'll try to get as many calls in before the end of the hour as we can. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, starting in Monterey, northbound 1 at Casa Verde Way. Getting reports that a dog is on the shoulder running into the lanes. Definitely drive with caution there. Capitola heads up northbound 1 after 41st Avenue. It's a cardboard box that's between the lanes there. Eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta Parkway. We have a three-car crash with all the activity off to the side. CHP is on the scene taking a report. An older crash still clearing up in Hollister Shore Road at Fraser Lake Road. We have two cars off to the side. And for South San Jose, heads up northbound. Northbound 101 before Bailey Avenue, a big metal frame, that's in the second lane from the left. Four cars hit that debris. They've all pulled off to the side. One of these vehicles actually leaking fuel into the roadway, so fire department may be on the scene doing some cleanup. This is brought to you by the California Public Utilities Commission. Call CalPhone Info at 1-800-818-5009 for free information to help you get smarter about telephone services provided by the California Public Utilities Commission. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, west of the Mississippi, along the Pacific coast, in California, below Davenport, above Lucia, and west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
We're to the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes in front of the hour, and the switchboard's jammed. Let's see how many calls we can get in 8 minutes? And up first, it's Duncan in Fieldbrook. Welcome back, Duncan. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot, Peter. And hey, of all the talk shows, I think you do the most objective review of presidential candidates, so I reject the Hillary hater.
Well, I do what I can, but I'm human, and my biases are clear. And if people feel that I cross the line and I'm really Hillary bashing instead of criticizing the campaign, the tone, or her policies, I want you to get right in my face.
You got it. Hey, what I told Katrina that I'd just like to engage you briefly is I enjoyed hearing Country Joe yesterday. Frankly, I shared what I sensed was a little bit of your, I won't say frustration, but I felt the same way when you kept asking about concern for veterans and what do we do about veterans and how do we support veterans and kind of an attitude that, you know, civilians can't do anything. And I disagree with that. You know, it's writing your congressman. It's vigorously protesting it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, it's goading the VA into making sure that particularly disabled veterans get benefits.
Yeah.
And you know, I had some employees who worked for me who were Vietnam vets. A couple of them had clearly had PTSD, and you know, you get involved. You get, you know, you get them into therapy. You watch them. You cut them slack. And I just, I sense he was really laid back, and I wonder what your comment was.
Well, I, you know, it was the first time I met him, and every interview is different. And he was not uncooperative with me,
right.
But he was kind of resistant to some of the ideas that I guess I assumed he would embrace. And maybe, you know, it's just kind of the character he is. He likes to be a bit of a contrarian. He doesn't seem to be much of a joiner or a gregarious guy. And so, you know, he offered a kind of iconoclast view that he, you know, is certainly entitled to. But like a couple of callers referenced yesterday, I was kind of surprised, particularly when he poo-pooed the death toll in Iraq because so many more people died in Vietnam.
Right.
And I found that, you know, it probably was perceived as callous. I know I felt it was insensitive.
Well, thanks for letting me comment.
You bet. And I want to thank Larry in Costa Rica for a couple of good emails. He's listening online. Good to have you with us, Larry. Now to Susan in Soquel. Hi, Susan.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
Pretty good.
Good. I do want to say it's not, I don't think you're Hillary bashing, but there's definitely a really strong bias, and I think a mood of apologizing. And you do it on this side, and I see, I've been listening to Christine Kraft, and she's been filling in for Bernie, and she does it on the other side because she's really supporting Hillary, and it's kind of the same thing, just reversed. And one thing she said that I think is just really true is that they're both politicians, and her point, the big point about Obama, and she shows it over and over again, is that he is as much of a politician. He does political stuff just like Hillary, well, maybe not just like Hillary, but in that same hard-hitting political way, if he wants to, that he is aware of what he's doing, and I think she's right about that.
I don't disagree, and I'll add to that that he has a team of Chicago political operators who are among the best in the nation.
Right, I'm sure, and you know, I think the problem is that so many people have idealized him, you know, made him some kind of wonderful messianic person, and I just can't go for that. It really, really drives me crazy.
Well, I don't believe I've ever engaged in, creating a messianic view.
You think more good is going to come from him than can actually, and maybe in some ways.
And part of that is wishful thinking, Susan. I'll be honest. We know what the Clintons have done, and we know what their range of behavior is. And frankly, for me, it sucks.
But when we say Clintons, I'm another thing that gets me a little bit is that we are saying Clintons. We are.
And why is that? Because she is running as if they had a co-presidency in the 90s.
Right.
And she wants you to believe that her experience is a positive when it's something you agree with, and when it's NAFTA or S-CHIP, which she has exaggerated her role in, you know, she wants to sell you that.
Right, and I think this will be the hardest election for me ever. I really don't like the candidates, either of them.
All right, Susan. Thank you. Victor in Pacific Grove, thanks for calling.
Yes, Peter.
Yes, sir.
Well, just what you were talking about right now, you more or less, you said that Hillary Clinton sucks. And like you said, that's bashing.
No, I said that what we have seen is the pattern of their behavior, and that sucks. It was not about her personally. It's about their linkage to corporate Democrats, the DLC, the welfare reform, the trade deals that she now repudiates, and in the same breath, she claims that it's her experience from those very issues that makes her better qualified than Barack Obama.
Well, so I'm a Hillary supporter, I'm an avid listener of progressive stations. I just been hearing nothing but Hillary bashing, and I don't listen to it anymore because
Victor, define your terms. What is honest criticism? What's appropriate, and what crosses the line into bashing?
Well, they don't criticize Obama at all. They're just criticizing everything that she does and says or anything. But they don't like. I don't even know if I want to vote for Obama because even though I do like him. But he said that he was he would appoint Republicans to his administration. You know, yet he said his whole campaign is evolved. He said he emphasizes change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to put Republicans in your administration, that isn't change, because we've had 7 years of Republican administration, and we know that they don't cooperate. Then you just can't. We need to talk about that.
Well, Victor, I've been very honest about that. That one of my biggest misgivings about Obama is that this political campaign theme of post-partisanship will be very difficult to operate under if he is elected president. And so I don't know exactly how that will pan out, whether he'll have to learn difficult lessons like Bill Clinton did over gays in the military, or whether he'll actually be able to prevail in a post-partisan approach. But I have doubts about that, and I've been honest about him. Thanks for your call, Victor. And thanks for everybody who dialed in today. I appreciate it. We're going to do this again tomorrow. And if you didn't get through or on the air today, why don't you try me again tomorrow? I'm Peter B. Collins with producer Katrina Rill. Thanks for listening.
We're talking again with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, I just gave you a nice little chocolate raspberry treat. Can I drink wine and eat chocolate at the same time? Is there a rule against that? Is there a law in France that says I can't?
No, to the contrary. My girlfriends and I sometimes get together and have a treat of chocolate with one absolutely scrumptious wine that we have, which is called Cartagène, which is, again, something that people make in the south of France, pretty much for the family. It's a treat, and they pull it out when you go visit them. You know how farmers are and people are close to the land, and they pull out the thing that they've made and they've kept in their cellar, and the foie gras and the special sausage and all this, and they sit around and they share this little treat with them. It's like communion.
Find out more about organic wines at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. Order by phone toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. Mention Peter B. Collins and see what happens.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King, live at the Kennedy Space Center.
Space Shuttle Endeavour is rolling out on runway 15.
Touchdown just over 20 minutes ago, a nighttime landing on the second opportunity after a 16-day space station construction mission.
Welcome home, Endeavour.
Thanks, Jim. It was a super rewarding mission, exciting from the start to the ending, and we just thank you for all your help. Looking forward to seeing you here soon.
Right now, though, we're seeing alternating flames near Endeavour's tail. It looks kind of scary, but NASA says it's the normal venting of the shuttle's hydraulic systems, more pronounced at night. Endeavour's crew did a record 5 spacewalks. It delivered a robot, a new crew member, and the first part of a new lab to the space station. I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. Now with more CBS News, here's Bill Whitney.
President Bush went to the Pentagon today for a briefing from the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He got an earful. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports.
Basically, what they told the president is, we are in a situation where the U.S. is rapidly losing its ability to reinforce Afghanistan or any other crisis point around the world. And in fact, the term used in the briefing that the chief presented to the president is, quote unquote, serious risk. Serious risk that the U.S. will not be able to send reinforcements to Afghanistan or some other crisis point around the world.
Reinforcements would have to come from somewhere, and unless more troops can be withdrawn from Iraq, that could mean that combat tours would stay at 15 months rather than being reduced to 12. While some parts of the country cope with flooding, the White River in Arkansas is still rising, not expected to crest till the weekend. Other regions are suffering the lingering effects of a prolonged drought. CBS News correspondent Daniel Seberg found it's causing heartbreak in horse country.
This hay thing has just absolutely brought me to my knees.
While the major horse farms can absorb the higher costs, Beverly Danko's had to cancel her cable and is behind in the rent to keep her 6 horses fed.
The thought of losing them has to tear you up.
It does. There's no way that I could ever accept it. And I won't.
70 Tennessee walking horses were seized in a county south of Lexington. Elsewhere, horses have been simply abandoned on federal